It's the All Rage World Podcast. Windsor,
Ontario.
What the fuck is that?
It's the All Rage World Podcast. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 101.
101.
This is Chad.
Chad.
Image Jippy.
Jippy.
Jip, jip, jip. And enjoy.
Some people want me to be heads or tails. I say no way, try again another day. I should be happy, not tipping the scales.
What if we got rid of hello?
That's fine too.
What? And welcome.
What if it was just...
And welcome to the All Rage Bowl podcast.
I'm Joe.
Yeah.
Or what if there was no intro? What if we just played a song and then... No. All right, hey guys, welcome to the show.
I definitely like the intro. I like feeling like you're in the room with us, just being stupid, and then it breaks into the intro, kind of relaxes you back from that, and then we talk. I think that's like perfect.
Get your vibe.
Yeah.
Get your vibe and... Like, I mean, that's...
The episode's...
So what do you want to change about it?
Nothing.
I just wanna have some fun.
Hello and welcome to the All Rage Mode podcast. This is episode 101. My name's Joe.
I'm TJ.
And I'm Chad.
Welcome to the show.
Yes.
Perfect.
If you want to try me.
All Rage Mode.
I can't believe how sick I am. Oh, I've been wasted all night.
If that was true, sorry. I'd be so sad.
I want to apologize in advance for any coughing that happens on the episode. I have a bit of a cold. I'll try and keep it to a minimum. I'm trying to get the booze going.
Your voice sounds like my voice at all times.
Me?
Yeah.
What are you saying?
I got a fucking gravelly, nasally voice. I don't smoke, but it sounds like I smoke.
All right, Jeppy, what do you want to start with?
Okay, this week we're
gonna... I may have something for everything.
What's that mean?
I don't know. Whatever you it throw means... at me, I'll have something to say about it.
Oh, yeah? Well, we got some game shit.
Well,
is that what we're going to start with?
Yeah. Well, no, we're not going to start with games.
No? Okay.
I don't know. That's not the
fault. I mean, what happened this week? What good shit happened this week?
Well, I went to a hockey game. It's kind of fun.
But hockey game?
No need to talk about that.
Bloodborne came out.
Bloodborne. Hardline.
Hardline, yeah, we skipped last week, so...
We haven't recorded in 2 weeks, and we can talk about why.
And last week, we
had a cool barbecue.
That's two big ass.
Actually, it wasn't even a barbecue, it was a deep fry session.
It was deep fry, plus a bonfire.
We found out how to make beer-battered mozzarella sticks.
That was very good.
You missed the mozzarella sticks, which we are going to do a redux for that, because they were insane.
I enjoyed your cheese sauce with cheese, chicken
No, it was Guinness-battered... chicken, and then the cheese sauce had like taco
cheese
seasoning.
Sauce was fucking awesome.
She rescued my chicken. I made the chicken, and TJ and I both we deep fried chicken. Beer battered.
What was yours, TJ?
There's no lid on there.
Yep, I realized that now.
We both beer battered chicken. Him with him with pale, and me with dark. And we soon found out you have to marinate the chicken, because once you bite through that thin layer of batter, you're just tasting chicken breast.
And the batter itself
doesn't... It just tastes like boiled chicken breast.
Yeah.
Like, so you got to marinate the chicken. The batter itself does very little.
When I did it at home, I had barbecue sauce. Really good barbecue sauce. I know it's gone.
Cheers.
Gone. 100.
200 episodes.
100
to the next 100,
gone.
Guys.
Absolutely.
We just finished the booze that TJ bought us for the 100
episode. $100
booze. Yeah. Anyway, marinate the chicken first.
Or
we are going to do a redux.
Loads of barbecue sauce.
Hey, we're not waiting 3 months for another potluck.
Tell me when.
You need to tell me when. I mean, you can't host twice in a row. That should be a fucking... Yeah. So,
you're right.
I mean, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the invite.
All right.
All right.
It's forthcoming.
Good to know.
Let's put it this way. I have to wait till June for Dan.
You're not waiting till June to host the potluck? You kidding me? It's 4 months away.
You know, if Dan were here, maybe he'd make a point to say...
Dan would say, I don't need to go. I'm tired
anyway.
No,
that's anyway. Adequate. I say June is acceptable.
But he's not here.
You want to wait 4 months before we potluck at TJ's?
It's going to be June in like 5 seconds. April is going to go by without a hitch. And then May, fucking The Witcher comes out. And then all of a sudden, it's August.
I have a busy May.
Yeah, because The Witcher comes out. The Witcher's.
And so in your life, when video games come out, time moves faster.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The last 10 years, 12, 15, maybe 20 years of my life have been, what new releases are coming out this year? And I base my year upon it.
And when time moves slow, you get pissed and throw your controller.
Exactly. I feel like
I'm a little closer with movies. Like May 1st, Avengers comes out.
Bullshit.
And that mixes in with whatever else is going on in my life for May.
May 1st?
May 1st.
Avengers comes out?
Coming out pretty soon.
Fuck May. April 12th is the date on my calendar.
What's that?
You know.
I don't.
I'm embarrassed for you. Well, come on, Game of Thrones.
Oh, shit. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That's another big one.
Oh, they're going to catch up to the books. And they said they're going to pass the books, eh? Did you guys hear that?
They're
going to
pass the books?
They just said it's going to happen. They thought like maybe they'd wait. Well, it's going to happen.
Ooh, isn't it true that the books are told concurrently? You're like book 5 or whatever. I don't know. I haven't read the books.
4 and 5 are overlap.
Yeah, like
4 is half the characters.
Here's what these characters are doing during this time, and then the next book is here's what these characters were doing during that time. So the show runs chronologically.
Right.
So they can't jump back and forth.
Right. So they're putting 4 and 5 together.
They have to jump back and forth.
Yeah. 5 passes 4 by the end because it's a bigger book. But basically, yeah. And they're going to...
I'll allow it. I'm tired of fucking book readers thinking they're so tough.
The
TV takes over.
Wow.
George R. R. Martin has alluded to the fact that he will release the 6th book before the show comes out. So like, I will literally be racing to read the 6th book to try to stay ahead of the show, but the 7th book, there's no way it's coming out.
Why stay ahead of the show?
I enjoy reading the books, like, kind of just before. I don't know, I'm worried that if I watch the show, I'll be less inclined to read the books.
Definitely.
Yeah. I don't want to read that shit.
And I love reading the books. So, and that's the way I've done it so far.
A 5 second
good
pan,
on.
A pan of, like, what they're eating on the table, like, that's all I need. I don't need to read fucking 3 pages.
You don't want to know that there was the butter was mixed together with...
No, I don't need to know that. I can just make those assumptions. I'm sure it's all delicious.
Smorgrand has been churning the butter for 3 days.
Gravlis of Smorgrand.
Well, that's my point.
I see butter, I'm like, hey, that's probably... Tastes like butter. It's probably pretty good.
That's probably real fucking butter right there.
Let's move the story along.
It has no preservatives.
I'm sure it was
vegetable oil. It was just fucking straight butter. However they made butter...
That's
whatever
probably.
Butter you see in Game of Thrones.
That's like real shit.
You know what? I want to read the book now. I want to know how they make that fucking butter. I want to hear the description of that butter.
There is a Game of Thrones cookbook, by the way.
Is it really?
There is.
What do you make?
Butter.
I don't know. Just
chicken bread.
Stupid old stuff, yeah.
Old chicken leg.
I'm not buying it. I buy a lot of Game of Thrones shit. I'm not buying that.
If I seen that in your house, I'd be like, come on, TJ.
Exactly.
TJ, why are you doing this?
TJ, I understand you like Game of Thrones, but come on, TJ.
I don't need to eat. You know what I want, though? I want a horn. Like a horn mug. I thought that shit was cool.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No?
Out of a horn? You want to drink out of a horn?
Not a real horn.
Oh, well, then
a real horn?
Why
it's
the horn?
A real horn?
Well, it can be a real horn if it's polished, I guess. But, like, I want... You know, in Game of Thrones, they have fucking horns that are you put fucking meat in. And...
How do you get that shit?
I don't know.
Where do you find that?
You got a hollow with a horn, I guess.
It wouldn't be
you know, apparently,
HBO
if you go into the
Game
wild.
Of Thrones.
Deers and shit, moose. They just
deers
shed,
and shit.
They
moose?
Just shed their like antlers every year.
What?
It just falls off, and you can find that in the woods.
They fall off.
Some of them do. Some of them don't. I've heard that before. But at the same time, isn't like they grow a buck a year? Certain animals, like deer.
Yeah, like
and that's how you know they're older. Or do they grow all of them back plus one?
There's
that's
no
fucked, man.
Way.
They do.
Interesting question.
You can find shedded. I know this is true.
You know what? I think
certain
I think
animals.
I think it's new every year. I think they shed at the beginning of the year.
And it comes back faster.
Yeah, because I've seen bucks. I've seen like older bucks. Like that looks like an old fucking deer, but with like little baby antlers.
Yeah, but why would it be so binary? Like, oh, well, you know what? That deer is 6 years old, so it's going to grow six horns.
It is.
Not. You don't say it's six buck. Horns.
And then it falls off in seven the next year?
6 point buck. There you go. There's points.
Yeah.
I'd like to do some research on this before we commit to it being
Orange mode.
Let's just say it like it's true this week, and then we'll redact it next week.
Okay, well, maybe. I mean, I could be plus or minus Meow Meow Beans right now. But
however many points the deer has is how old he is. And every year, he sheds the points.
I'm pretty sure that's accurate. As ridiculous as that sounds.
And every year, Game of Thrones takes the fucking horns that they find in the woods and makes mead mugs out of them. I want a mead mug.
It is dope.
All right, so are we talking about TV, games, movies, or what?
I was going to do console wars, then feedback, then games.
I got console wars.
That sounds fine to me.
All right, let's hit it with console wars.
Console wars.
Console Wars back.
It's been a while.
So Console Wars is also games, right? This is just when we talk about games.
Absolutely. Well, it's generally specific to exclusives.
We talk about between the battles between Nintendo and
Sony
and Microsoft.
I think the podcast could be all Console Wars. That's it. 20-minute show every week. We talk about Console Wars.
I don't want to talk to you fuckers for 20 minutes.
Dan could talk for hours.
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying, is it opens up discussion, and then that's the show.
They can talk for at least an hour and a half on Bloodborne alone.
If I can...
It's sweet.
Listen, I try really hard.
Just kidding.
If I can, like, here's what I do. I speculate, I hype, I fucking consider different things, I'm critical about ideas.
Oh, you've been getting flack for this week.
Yeah, I've been getting fucking shit on, and like, I'm trying to be a personality here.
Can I?
You're saying that, or are you actually excited?
Do I argue with you about games?
No, but when you bring up like hype train type shit, like I wanted to fucking have ground to space battles, like that's a legitimate hope. You're not just saying this is Joe Maria on the All Range Mode podcast talking about what's going to be sick.
That's interesting.
And taking the classic Destiny example, you legitimately hoped for space dogfights and interplanet travel.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So. I mean,
that's a legitimate hope. That's not...
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's Joe Maria saying...
If you ask me, like, hey, what do you hope Battlefield's like? Battlefront. What do you hope Battlefront's like?
Oh, it's fun and nice.
I'm not going to be constrained, or I'm not going to be cautious, or, you know, I'm just going to say, like, wow, this is cool, and this is what I like about Star Wars, and, I mean... And, I don't know. I mean, that's what I was doing. Speculating, hyping, you know?
Yeah.
But none of that has to happen.
Dude, I'm okay with the hype. Dan has a problem with the hype. Dan over-exaggerates in his mind how much you dislike games. And even calling it dislike is an overhype. Because you didn't dislike Destiny, you just weren't as high on Destiny as Dan was. And you've played Destiny as much as you did many
Dan's
other games.
Dan's probably the 1% as far as Destiny is concerned.
Sure.
3 maxed out.
But that's irrelevant.
3 maxed out.
It's not about Dan. It's about you still got plenty out of that game.
It was
worth a purchase. I love being with Dan this week, and I don't agree with Dan on how much he hated on what you did.
The fact that I wanted those things, I didn't the fact that they weren't in that game didn't affect my rating or affect my opinion of the game.
Sorry.
No problem. It didn't affect my opinion of the game. I thought it was good. You know what the most important thing about Destiny? It was really fun when I was playing it, and I gave it 5 stars.
You overhyped Destiny, you overhyped this fucking game. The game was great.
Here's where I agree with Dan. Because I just kind of threw him out there by himself.
You single him out.
Yeah. You inject hopes into games that have no right being there sometimes. Or into things. Like for our VR discussion last week, I agree with your points that they're great ideas.
Oh, fucking eye focus.
I just feel like, yeah, exactly. Let's not get
but
into
why
it.
Why can't you guys just agree that it would
I did.
Benefit
I did more than once in the episode. Agree. If you actually listen. But
dude,
what I said is
I
that...
I need glasses in order to focus
just,
in real life.
You're projecting more expectation on it than it ever planned on delivering. And it's like, and all it was, it's because they called it virtual reality and you latched onto that term.
I did.
That's the problem I had with, you have expectations of things. And you can't blame them for calling it virtual reality. Virtual Boy was called virtual reality and it was 1,000 times worse than this is. This is actually closer to virtual reality and it's a very subjective term, you know, like you, what you call virtual reality. It's the closest thing in this world, on planet Earth, it's the closest thing to virtual reality we have today.
Well, okay. The new 3DS, when you turn it, right, it affects where the 3D is.
Eye tracking.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
You were not saying eye tracking. You were saying focusing depending on where you're looking.
But you have to track.
But I mean, and then, it's taking...
No, you're taking where, like how your pupils finding, are dilating based on where you're
retina
looking.
Retina scanning is what I called it.
Oh,
but the thing is, yeah, like right. it's taking where your eyes are in reference to the actual device and just adding a little bit to make the experience better. That's all I'm talking about.
That's not a little bit, though.
Okay.
You know, on a 3DS?
I don't
want to. Dude, can you imagine like say right now, like I'm kind of drunk. And my eyes, like, I'm looking at you, and then I look up at that poster. It takes, like, half a second for it to focus on that poster. And those are my fucking eyes doing that.
Well, you know what? The example is the 3DS has a little thing, a little switch.
It doesn't focus. All it does, is look where you're turning it to, like, a degree of 45 degrees. You don't have much.
No, I'm not
if
saying
you, like,
it
turn it to this way,
I'm
it's not 3D
it
anymore.
Uses the existing, it uses that technology to add a little bit. That's all I wanted.
It's a little bit better that you don't have to, like, you don't have to hold it 6 inches from your head, exactly 6 inches away from your head, and it's 3D. You can kind of turn it at a slight angle, and it still looks 3D.
And
but that
I
is
think
not...
I think it was
like,
what is his
like
name?
Pupil focusing.
Joe
Paris.
Yeah.
Joey P.
He was saying, like, as if I, like, wanted to jerk my eyes around and have it focus on, like, immediately.
That's exactly what I thought you were saying. That's exactly what everybody thought you were saying.
No, if you... Like, you know how often, like, you're using your camera on your cell phone?
You said if you're looking over TJ's shoulder and you look behind him.
Yeah, yeah.
You
so
want
like,
that
you
to
know
be
how,
out of focus. You want TJ to be in
You know
focus.
How when you tap on your on different spots of your cell phone, it'll focus in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. If it knows I'm looking past TJ, just focus past TJ.
It's not instant, dude.
Yeah, you've once complained before
you
about
do need
the
it to
lag
be instant.
Moving your head and saying if it's
That's
not
all
instant,
you're talking about.
It won't be real. And if therefore, if your eyes have the capability to focus in an instant,
all right, well,
it has to be as quick
idea.
As your eyes.
Doesn't have to do it.
I want to hear you say
no,
it's
no,
a
no.
bad idea.
It's not a bad idea.
I just did.
It's a good idea. The question is the capability there and should we have that expectation?
In 40 years when they can mimic the human eye
yes.
and brain, yes.
Do it. And actually, that's the other thing I want to mention.
And you guys
is
be like,
the technology
this is what Joe was talking about.
Fuck, yeah, Joe.
You said the technology is there?
Joe said this 40
is.
Years ago.
If the technology was there, it would be there. We would have it. You know what I mean? It's all about making, is that going to pay? Like, if it costs an extra $200 to get that eye tracking, is that going to pay off? Are people going to pay an extra $250 so they can make $50 profit to get the eye tracking, right? It's got to be economical. It's got to make money.
I mean, that would
and
be,
it has to be,
that would be fucking incredible.
Useful. Oh, absolutely.
It would absolutely be incredible. Like, playing a game where you're looking off in the distance and you just, like, you look over and just, like, that's what I'm looking at. And the game knows that I'm looking at that, like, mountain way over there. And it just focuses instantly, like, how my eyes would.
Our kids
would
depending
on wearing my
I think
glasses
that's easily achievable,
or,
to be honest.
It is not easily achievable. How the fuck do you know what's going
your
on
your games
eyes?
Have to be programmed to incorporate that, right?
Yeah, to track your eyes.
Yeah. Well, no. The tracking
think
is done
like
by
the
device.
Subtle little movements that,
and
that
the
are
games
made. Like,
have to read the input from the device to tell it to do that, and then the game has to adjust.
Okay, you know, Chad, it's not like the thing is bound by how quickly your eyes are moving. If it could know that he's been focusing on this area for three seconds, 2 seconds, 1.5 seconds.
If you're playing a Twitch shooter like Battlefield,
okay, well, Battlefield will never be out for Oculus.
Why?
Because it needs a controller.
No, because everything is always in focus to begin with in video games right now.
Hold on. Most Oculus games have a controller if the game requires a controller.
No, it's motion controls with your hands, all that bullshit.
No.
That's what is coming
you
up.
You still have a controller.
What? That's not what we're seeing.
Oculus does not have any of that.
Doesn't use move?
The only thing it does, it has head
about.
Tracking where it reads the position of the camera on your head.
Yeah, like
and you use a keyboard and mouse or a controller. It's not Kinect.
Yeah, like left and right, or not left and right, but like interaction is still done with something.
I've only played but one game Battlefield where your reticle is controlled by your head tilt.
Those types of games won't exist for
It will. It'll just, you'll still be holding a controller while you're playing it.
Yeah, your cursor can stay still. You can turn left and right, but you have to turn the toggle, right toggle to still kind of turn your guy.
If anything, it'll be a PC port to work with Oculus, but it's not going to be made for it.
Oh, absolutely not. You're right.
Have you seen the Samsung
screen face,
like Gear?
Yeah.
Where it's just like they use the phone.
Yeah.
They use the Samsung phones and it just kind of mounts inside. I was reading it on Polygon today. And it's this guy who he took a plane to Iceland or something like that, and he was just on the plane, and because the phone, you mount the phone inside this headset, and the out-facing camera can be accessed at any time to see what's going on. So like you use the camera on the screen
and you just like see right through it with a slight lag.
To look what's going on. And like this guy's just talking to the stewardess and she's just looking at this phone in the guy's face. And
that's so jacked.
And he would like put on movies, and he's like, I had a fear of flying, but as soon as I put like a movie on, he's like, I was in a movie theater all by myself. I just had my headphones on and just like, oh my god, this is amazing. Just lay back and
I'd be so freaked out about like what's going on outside of the headset.
Yeah,
like,
yes, you definitely would. I
who's
think
touching me?
Here's the thing though, your kid won't be.
Imagine somebody touched you.
Dude, okay, your grandparents, okay, whether they're living or not, if they had a phone and they were walking around doing this and someone was talking next to them, they would feel uncomfortable. Oculus is gonna be the same thing. Our kids are not gonna have that weirdness with it.
You think we're going to develop that? That's going to be inborn?
It's
going to
be, hard for us.
VR is going to be inborn into...
I don't know.
No, that's what I'm saying. We're old. We're resistant to VR because
I don't
old.
Believe it.
Our kids will be like, yeah, VR is this thing and it that's exists true. And we do it.
From birth, we've been putting this thing on. What did you guys do? Back in my day, I used to play on a tube TV, Sonic Adventure 2.
And you mean like 90% of your vision was just the rest of the room? That's weird.
Yeah, like I'd sit here and play games. Like, what the fuck kind of... What?
I don't think so. That's not practical.
I'm not saying it's going to be the norm. I'm just saying they're going
to
be used to it.
That's kids in like 20 years.
They're going to go on a plane and not worry about like it being impersonal. The fact that you're sitting next to somebody and you're just in the zone, like, I don't know, watching a movie and like screaming or like laughing out loud. Being really weird
no
and awkward.
Way,
that's it. He
man.
Was saying that too.
There's
he's
no
like,
way.
He's like, I felt weird. I felt weird sitting there like in my own like... whatever state kind of thing, like nobody else can interact with me,
dude. I feel
like I'm just kind of sitting in my chair like this as to not like oh
not only that you're underestimating how much you actually depend on your peripheral. So like if you had to hit a button and turn your head every single time, like I don't know, I feel like it'd be very strange.
But again, if you're in a world where everyone in that world knows about the technology and knows that you're in some other place right now, and it could be really immersive, and you could be like, forget where you are. Knowing that my neighbors know that makes you okay with it.
It's Minority Report. Yeah, some guy's talking to you through a fucking camera on his phone.
Yeah, it's like those guys with the fucking Jabras.
Oh, what's
you
up,
know?
Dude? I've never seen your eyes before. I'm best friends with this guy. I've never seen his eyes.
I think a more practical idea would be the Google Glass or the Microsoft thing that they're. Mess about.
Yeah, the HoloLens thing.
Yeah.
But
I think it's time to move to the woods. You need to know where you're standing.
It's time to move to the woods.
You need to be able to kind of know where your feet are.
Right. Like, VR right now is meant to be like, you're not going anywhere. You're on a
plane.
There's
got to be no lag when you're walking.
Have you ever missed the final stair? Or, like, thought you were on the last step and then took that final step?
Yeah.
That would be every step in your life.
I've had it wearing real glasses before. Where I'm walking down and I just like, I take a step and the step is way closer or longer away than what I thought it
was.
Yeah,
and it like throws your back. Ah! Like,
you try and recover. What's happening? Oh shit, I was working while wearing a fucking Oculus Rift.
Yeah, okay, because that's going to happen.
That will happen.
What, you guys want to talk about games?
Yeah. Well,
let's do it.
Hold on, do we have Console Wars?
Yeah.
What was that Console Wars?
Console Wars begins? Oh, no, wait, we already did the intro.
This is Console Wars now.
We're
already
in it.
All right, did you guys hear that? I'm going to try and say his name. Eiji Aonuma.
What about him?
If you're saying it wrong, I don't know.
Said that Legend of Zelda Wii U has been delayed beyond 2015.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We did talk about this beforehand. Let's not pretend we... Oh, what?
It's ridiculous how little I care.
Yeah.
I have no, like... I think it was too far out for me to care.
One of my hopes? Or one of my predictions?
Dan was right, so his Meow Meow Beans go up.
About what?
About it not coming out this year. He full-on said Zelda won't be out this year.
It's pretty easy to just be negative and be positive and win in this.
Half the time, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not coming up. You know what? The fact that they didn't specify, like, a new date, you know, like, it's not coming out this year.
The NX, they're waiting for E3, man. It's going to be exclusive launch game. I don't know what the fuck the NX is.
You have pretty high hopes for that NX?
No. Absolutely not. I'm not buying another fucking Wii console.
It's possible they've actually been working on it for as soon as, like,
months after Wii U.
It looked dark.
The Nintendo Wii 3.
No. Wii looked dark immediately. Wii U have always been low.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, like, it's possible they just...
I hope they abandon.
On to the next.
But at the same time, they just released the new Nintendo 3DS.
3DS is doing fine. I think what they're worried about is their home, like their dedicated gaming home machine. Like,
yeah, they have no penetration to the fucking home network.
No, it's irrelevant and it's losing relevance.
I have it. I have so many games for it. I don't play it.
Well, it's fine.
I don't play it. It sucks.
Wait, yeah. I mean, you do have it. Which says a little bit, but yeah, I mean, did you buy it used or new?
I bought it used.
There you go. So, I mean, like,
your sale... I got a dope deal on it.
Your sale does not count. You know what I mean? Because yeah, it's not Nintendo, plus one unit for them.
It's already been sold.
So that's what I'm thinking. Like, it's... They've obviously done a lot of restructuring, you know, like, in the past year. Holy shit, what do? This mobile games. Like, they're making games for other platforms.
Mobile games, NX, like... Remember when we talked about that before, like them making mobile games? I don't see the draw out of that.
Dude, it's not crazy. That's not the important part.
Pokemon,
the important part
fighting games on...
is that Nintendo has been like stubborn, and it's the same people stuck in that company not doing things. They're finally starting to break the mold. If they have success with mobile games because 13-year-olds play the shit out of them and they make money, maybe they'll open their eyes to party chat and achievements. Even and it's, licensing their software to fucking Sony just because it makes the money. And it also brings people back to the Nintendo platform somehow.
Never to Sony.
Whatever. Yeah.
20 years.
The point is, like, they're very stuck in their ways. And I think the fact that they're moving into mobile games is a big step for them, like, as a company. I don't know. I don't give a shit that they're on mobile games.
No, that's true. And I'm trying to think of, like, how big it is, like, a marketing scheme as opposed to, like, an attack to the market. Like, how are we going to focus on this?
What I like to focus on is, as you know, holding the cards to their chest, as Nintendo is, for them to even mention we have something else on the way, it's just a statement saying, like, we're done with Wii U.
I think no. Mobile games is another just marketing platform for their Nintendo home console. Like, they're going to release Mario, and they know that, like, kids play iPads and iPhones and stuff like that, just like little babies. They're gonna wean them with little whatever touch games on iPad.
Well, they've seen, and then they're gonna say that the touch games,
yeah, and then
for
like
DS,
like,
and Wii U,
hey, there's a whole big fucking game here on the Wii 6. Kids are just gonna jump into it.
Yeah
the phones, the iPads and stuff are not really competing because they're not home consoles, right?
Yeah.
So it's pretty safe for them to kind of go into that and not have to feel like they're giving away to their competitors.
Yeah.
See, this would be an opportunity to speculate and hype. But, I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic.
At the same time...
Yeah, I'm the same way. Even when Wii U came out, I was just excited for a new console, something new. The thing that you were going to mention, though, is that, like, they can't dump Wii U, you know what I mean? How pissed would you be as a Nintendo fan to know that you spent money? It was cheap, but... You still spent money on a console, and they abandon it.
You really haven't had, like, a game.
It'll be out for 5 years before the successor comes out.
Mm.
No, it's been out for 3 years.
I know, and I think they're talking
about Christmas.
If they're talking about NX now, I feel like it has to come out in the next 3 years.
Why would I be? Why would I take this stance? Like, nope, I want the Wii U to last me another 3 years.
The president. Why wouldn't I just want them to have another?
You're pissed that they've abandoned a console that you invested, you believed and invested in them, and they said, "Yeah, we fucked up, and we're just going to release something else." And stop building games for Wii U because it's not competent.
Exactly, but I buy a new iPhone every 2 years.
You want to buy a new Xbox every
2 years? I've waited 4 years.
I'm not going to buy a new Xbox every 2 years. But I'm just saying, in this particular case, why wouldn't I just say, okay, let's...
Because they're not making Nintendo games for it.
On to the next one.
If it came out next year, would you really feel that way?
Yes. I honestly was talking about abandoning Wii U myself. Why would I play a garbage system just to be like...
But aren't you mad that it's garbage? Like,
yeah, I'm mad. Okay. It doesn't mean I'm going to fucking... Say like
shit,
no.
Shit, I can't believe they did that to me. I'm gonna buy.
That's because
one.
You know the games are gonna be good. But I'm just saying, as a consumer who's like legitimately, they're gonna buy one console. It's gonna be Wii U. It's gonna be PS4.
Yeah, but I was unhappy with Wii U after the first year. I mean, I don't know why I'd be stubborn and say like, nope, not buy. Like,
I'm not. Well, maybe now instead you say I'm gonna only buy PlayStation and I'm abandoning, because I imagine you're someone who doesn't have the attachment to those Nintendo games, who doesn't like them as much.
Yeah, but
as
you guys have this opinion that I'm some sort of like loyalist. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really care.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying level the playing field. Like, if you're a mom who bought it for his kid.
Who just spent $300
and then they're saying, oh, by the way, this console you bought is now obsolete because they messed up and built an inferior product.
Fake your billies, kid. Fake your billies.
I mean, I can say it 100 times, but no, I don't care. If they have another one, I'll probably want that one.
Yeah, and I'm in agreement with you. I'm just saying, like, you got to think about it from like a marketing standpoint. It's kind of, they have to still support the Wii U and the people that did trust in them and buy the Wii U.
People who bought and loved 3DS.
What can they do with
the go out and buy a new 3DS? It's been how many years since 3DS?
No, people who have Monster Hunter go out and buy a new 3DS.
All I'm saying is, I don't need to hang on to that old system. If Sony said like, hey, in 3 years there's going to be another one, I'd be excited about that.
Yeah, because this fucking thing has paid off already. Like, there's games coming out.
I'm not waiting to get my money's worth from Wii U. I think I've gotten my money's worth from Wii U. $300 over 4 years.
Okay. Maybe you're right.
It hasn't been 4 years?
It will be by the time this other thing comes out.
Wii U came out real early.
Came out a long time ago.
It'll be 3 years.
Are you trying to say that I'm wrong?
Yes. It'll be 3 years this November.
Yeah, but they're not even going to talk about this other thing until next year.
They're fucking talking about it right now.
They've mentioned they're working on something.
Hey, we're making something new.
If it's out next Christmas,
the fucking
I won't
best
be mad.
Game that's coming out for this thing is being delayed.
Dude, what are you doing? Like, I'm just saying, I'm happy that there's another one coming. I don't feel scorned.
All I'm saying is that they're abandoning the system already.
I'm fine with that. It's shit.
Zelda's out.
Why wouldn't you abandon it?
Gone. NX. Oh, fuck. New games coming out.
If Zelda comes out for Wii U, I have a Wii U to play it on. And if the next Mario game, the next Zelda game is on something else, then I'll get that one too.
Okay.
Like I said, I buy an iPhone every 2 years.
No, you don't. And I don't understand.
What am I supposed to do? What would you like me to do about this?
Be upset.
You want me to be upset?
I actually don't want you to be upset. I'm just saying.
No, I'm honestly
asking. I'm just thinking, think objectively.
How do you guys want me to feel?
Should you not be upset?
Okay, Sony, like, PlayStation 4 came out, and it's a success. The thing is doing well. Like, for them to come up with another one and say, like, oh, PS5's coming out in a year, like, okay, I don't get it. I'm still having fun with this thing. The Wii's been shit from the get-go. It's just like, so, you know, we're trickling down some games. They're kind of okay here and there. They're pretty fun.
So your idea is for them to wait longer. To release
or
something that's relevant.
The whole
or
idea.
Make sure that the games that they release continue to be released for the Wii U.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
All.
Like, no, like, I don't want them to be Wii U games. I want them to
then
be
why
NX
the
next
fuck
games.
Did they release the
because
Wii
you
U,
want
man.
You always want that next gen experience. But for somebody who's not interested in like the hardware and if the game is running good, they just want gameplay. They want the game to be available. You know, they're eventually going to stop making Xbox and PS3 games, and those people are going to feel like they're forcing me into buying the new stuff.
The Wii,
I know, you don't feel that way.
The Wii was just trying to get out before everybody else.
You know what? Like,
they released it early. It was shit. And they're trying to fucking backpedal. They're trying to get back ahead. They're going to release a new console. It probably won't be as powerful as the PS4 or the Xbox One. It'll just be fucking competent.
Well, if that's the case, if there's going to be like, if it's not going to be polarizing, then I probably won't get it.
I agree with that.
$200
But there's going to be really a new Zelda. You're wrong. I'm hoping you're wrong.
There's not going to be a new Zelda at launch. They're barely finished the one they're making now. It's going to be a new
Metroid. Now. We're going to fucking buy in.
We're gonna I don't know what you're trying to argue.
I don't know either. It's just that they have a monopoly on us. Like, they figured us out. Like, they figured out the games we like. Who gives a shit if we throw out a new console every 2 seconds? People are going to buy the games if they're exclusive to it.
Well, I mean, this doesn't happen all the time. Wii was out for a long time. Wii was out for, like, 7 years.
Yeah, that console cycle was fine. They've been normal. In the
that was same four, as their 5 years?
You know what? Wii? If anything, I'm
Wii, Wii was five at most.
You know what?
At having, least.
Having it came out a year after Xbox 360.
You want to bet a bean on it?
And
dude,
2 years,
let's bet one bean on it.
A year after Xbox 360, 2 years before the new generation.
Listen to this.
If you do the math, you're just going to help me
fucking
save
Wii U
myself.
Was like notoriously late. It was the system that should have been out 2 years earlier.
Everything and else was notoriously late, though.
No. It was Wii against PS3 for a long time. And we were thinking, like, what the fuck is this thing? It was a brick on my shelf.
Because they
and
come
I wanted
the same
Wii 2 years earlier. Now they're fucking, they're making right on that. They find, like, go ahead and realize that you're insignificant earlier and launch something else. If it's going to be my Nintendo version of a PS4, no thanks. Because I think the Wii U does fine
okay.
against PS4.
If they're announcing that they fucked up, then why not, like, offer the ambassador program like what they did
maybe
with...
They
yeah, if they do, then it's like, okay, if you have a Wii U, you have registered fucking Nintendo ID, then this game, this console is $50 cheaper.
Honestly, if it launches, if it's $400 and there's a fucking Metroid launch game, I'm all in.
Yeah, and also
and it, looks, will be and it well. Looks nuts. Like, I'm talking about, like, if they're going to write the ship and do their little mobile games and keep their DDS or whatever and then say, like, NX, like, maybe this is, like, them trying to jump in, them trying to, like... Don't make it cheap.
Wasn't
it
called
make
Fusion
it
last year or some shit?
I don't remember.
Do you remember that? You remember Nintendo Fusion?
Never heard of that.
I remember hearing things late last year about rumors
like,
that they were jumping ship.
Fusion everything together. Everything's going to be just together.
I remember hearing rumors that they were going to abandon Wii U when it was like dark. Like it was their dark times and there was like everyone's getting fired. You know, that kind of speculation
yeah.
was all over the internet. I was like... Hey,
well, because what else do you do in that situation?
Yeah, I even talked to my wife about it. I was like, hey, we should sell Wii U. Because, you know, like, and she's like, why? I like it. And I'm just like,
it's going down.
I said to her, I'm pretty sure they're going to abandon this thing. And here we are.
Fucking Sega Dreamcast. In 5 years, Nintendo will be a licensed company.
Oh, it'd be great. It'd be really great.
Yeah.
It won't be.
They should fucking get
sell the fucking licenses to the highest bidder. Sony makes Nintendo exclusives. Is that going to happen in our lifetime?
I don't know if I want that. I'd rather them be a third party.
And they make games for both.
Fuck PC. I don't care. Do whatever you want. Like, just make fucking dope games, and like I'll play them on, you know, the system that I already own.
Pikmin.
Let Sony and Microsoft fight over exclusivity.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
No, you'd get DLC that's like an extra fucking peach color or something. Like
they're going to go with Sony, though, because they're a Chinese man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, easily. You know.
Listen,
you games
Apple. Nintendo and Apple. Just give a nice big hug. They can just hug each other and...
Fuck that.
They're already getting into mobile games.
Apple is evil.
Apple's dope.
Apple is evil. That's all I'm saying.
Dude, the mobile game thing is just a marketing scheme.
No more
discs. It's going to be Mario Jump. Like fucking Doodle Jump and all
actually,
that shit.
I would love
no, dude, they'll be
a Nintendo
top-notch mobile games. I bet.
Yeah.
Even still,
the puzzle
if
games,
they do that, if they do that, if they make a... Like,
Dr. Mario.
If they make any good Nintendo game... Like Nintendo-developed iPhone game. It's huge. It's going to be top of the store for weeks.
Yeah.
Whatever they release, like, there's a fucking Nintendo game on the iPhone? Developed by Nintendo? With Nintendo's, like...
Who knows what they're going to be?
What are you getting at? That's awesome, right?
That is awesome. Yeah. And it's a marketing
it's
scheme.
It's not like you're going, like... What do you mean marketing? Yeah, it is. It's just furthering
because
your brand.
Because mobile games suck dicks. Like, all games suck ass on fucking iPhone.
Right, but young people like mobile games. And
exactly.
They're going to grow up
they're
knowing
grow
Mario.
Up and they're going to buy the NX.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I said fucking 35 minutes ago.
Okay, fine. That's fine.
Chad, I don't know what I'm saying.
PlayStation should do it.
Chad, If you had Animal Planet on your fucking cell phone, is that what it's called?
Animal Planet Crossing?
Animal Crossing.
Game's gay. Game's really gay, but a lot of people like it.
Let's put Console Wars to bed.
Well, that's only
step one. Well, I had tons. Oh, geez. That was the first fucking mark in Console Wars.
What else you got?
All right. You know, we talked about this before. Xbox One has that suspend, resume
yeah.
type functionality.
Woo, did that come out?
PS4, fucking, what is it? Update 2.5 adds that to the system.
Awesome.
That's what I'm talking about right there, man.
Sup. Try it out today. Sucks.
Does it suck?
Why?
It's funny, we're giving them points for that, but they're just catching up.
That's fine. Catching up's fine.
You apparently... know what
oh, go ahead.
I guess it it kind of just keeps the game running in the background. Obviously, it has to do that. But you know when you put the PS4 to sleep, it goes orange light and it's quiet.
Yeah.
I put it to sleep today with like suspend functionality with Battlefield plan. The fucking disc and hard drive are still running. Just
so instead of shutting things down. It just changes the color of the light now.
Exactly.
Basically.
It's still orange, but it's...
only uses 90% of the power to run the actual game.
Exactly, but the game's still fucking running. That's a lie. I want the game to be off.
The fact that the disc needs to... it's still turning is a big problem.
Xbox, no doubt, takes the state of it and puts it in memory and just shoves it there. Absolutely. And then retrieves it. That's what PlayStation should be doing if they're not.
No, I'm digital. Only buying digital games from now on. Well, I'm just kidding. That's not happening. But
don't do that. Sell your fucking games when you're done with them, like Bloodborne,
or trade them.
I didn't buy Bloodborne.
I did. I sold it. I'm glad I fucking bought it physical.
Yeah.
We'll get into that later, though.
Did you hear that PlayStation has button mapping?
Yes.
That is original. And how is it only now coming around in my mind?
I'm sorry. What is this?
The console itself can change the mapping of the buttons. So now you can remap any game. You know how like Smash Brothers, you can remap the stuff?
Uh-huh.
Now games don't have to build it in. And most games don't. And if you want to change the button configuration, you can't. But now you officially can on anything.
Can I change it on Ollie?
Yeah.
Dude, oh my god.
You can change it so when you're navigating your PlayStation menus, left is right and right is left if you want
fucking
to.
Fucking Ollie doesn't let me use the D-pad. Which is infuriating.
Oh, I don't know if you can do that.
What are you talking about?
I'm pretty sure it only lets you assign the triggers to each other, and the buttons to each other, and then the D-pad to each other. Because your toggle stick is 360, and your D-pad is only 4 buttons. It's not, or maybe 8 at most.
But it can't map a binary far left, far right,
up down. I'm pretty confident it can't. Looking at the screenshot that I saw, I'm pretty sure... it's limited.
Bitches.
You know what they actually...
You know what? I use the D-pad more than most. And I feel like it's underused at this point. Like, you know what? If you're going to include a D-pad on your controller, just make it one-to-one. You know, like, do I need my up D-pad to be a button? No, I just want it to be the same up as my toggle, but 100% up, 100% down.
Is that not what it is?
I can't even use it in Ollie Ollie. It's not even mapped. Oh. It's not an option.
Okay, but...
what games is the D-pad not the toggle? Is Battlefield different?
Not the toggle?
Yeah, like, the toggle is analog, but the D-pad's binary.
Okay.
So, what games...
every game uses the toggle stick. It's rare that a game uses the D-pad. What's your question?
I can't... so, what in Battlefield, what does the D-pad do?
Oh, it throws out your C4.
Yeah, there you go.
Ammo.
They use it as extra
buttons.
Holy
shit, yeah, it's just extra buttons.
Bloodborne, it's fucking switching between weapons and stuff.
You're right.
Rogue Legacy is one of the rare exceptions. You can use both. And that's rare exception.
Really?
Yeah. I use the D-pad with Rogue Legacy.
Mm-hmm. I use the D-pad as often as I can.
It makes sense for 2D games a lot. Like, yeah, arcade, you know arcades used to be a 6, and they had a 4.
Right. A lot of the games that I play, they don't need to be analog. Movement.
360 degrees, like touchy, like right. Skate, for example, if you kind of bring it more to the right when you curve versus straight up, like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
The subtleties are really important, right?
But I'm just pissed about Ollie Ollie.
No.
So I really want to be able to use the D-pad.
They're toting it as like, if you have like a disability and you can't hit certain buttons in certain combinations, you can remap
that's
them.
That's what I read.
Yeah.
It's on Polygon.
Yeah.
They wrote that.
I think it's if you're retarded or something.
Yeah, it's for retarded people. But no, seriously.
That's really cool.
What else you got, buddy?
Let's see here, boys. Oh, shit. Big week. Let me see. Toe Jam and Earl just started a Kickstarter. They're going to be making a new game. The developers of Toe Jam and Earl.
Of what?
Is it the same guys?
Toe Jam and Earl? You don't know Toe Jam and Earl?
I played the first.
For Sega Genesis?
Yeah, Banjo-Kazooie? Or is that a game?
Toe Jam and Earl is a... Is a
That's a game.
Yeah.
You don't know Toe Jam and Earl? You're
I'm not trying to
you're
say
like
Banjo
the biggest Sega fan.
I never owned a Sega.
I like sorry. Was I saying Toe Jam and Earl? No, I meant Banjo-Kazooie.
Wait a minute.
I thought it was a team.
You didn't have a Super Nintendo or a Genesis?
And there is Banjo-Kazooie on, I think, Kickstarter now.
Can you answer the question?
Yeah, there is.
Wow.
That's true.
I had Game Boy, Nintendo, Super Nintendo, and then I jumped ship and went PlayStation.
Toe Jam and Earl, within 1 week, reached its peak of Kickstarter funding. So it received all funding. They're going to make Toe Jam and Earl. It was the first co-op. Well, not... I don't know if it's the first, but it was like the first... Good co-op.
I feel like I wanted...
couch co-op for Sega Genesis.
Yeah,
two people would play together.
You could actually... like, there was different levels of the map, if I remember correctly. Like, there were different areas that you could go to, and you could independently navigate multiple areas of the map on, like, a half screen each.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I feel like I would want this to run on some sort of Sega Genesis emulator. Like, how would... like. Next gen Toe Jam and Earl, like first person shooter.
No, it's gonna
it
look,
have to be.
It's
got to
be
gen.
Classic. It's got to look classic, right? Like it's
putting it on PS4 it look, only makes it accessible. It doesn't make it fucking next gen
art style. It's, I mean, not because like, hey, this is what I expect out of games nowadays, but like those characters look like shit.
Oh, absolutely.
They'll look terrible, no matter what. Put it in Sega Genesis mod. Make it a Sega Genesis emulator.
This what you're talking about right now is there was a game, it was reviewed on IGN this week and reviewed everywhere else, but it's PC exclusive called Pillars of Eternity.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it?
No, never.
Obsidian, the guys who made Fallout New Vegas, KOTOR 2.
Sword of Truth, right?
Stick of Truth.
Stick of Truth, thank you.
Yes, yeah, there you go.
Sorry, Sword of Truth book.
They had a Kickstarter to make, like, this old-school RPG, like Baldur's Gate. Like, Baldur's Gate old PC days.
Yeah.
They basically, they remade a game from, like, 96. But everything new, totally original story. All the assets are new. The graphics kind of still look shit. But, like, the game is just incredible, and the game's getting amazing reviews. So, like, they still made it, like, it's a Kickstarter-funded game, it's out, it's got amazing reviews.
Yeah.
It still looks kind of like the original, what they were going for.
Well, I mean, Kickstarter's not like a death wish. That Broken Age game is Kickstarter. I haven't played that yet.
Fucking April 24th?
Why? Yeah, but is that the sequel, or can I not play the
Broken
first
Age
one?
Broken Age 1 and 2.
Oh, they come together?
For PS4, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fucking so excited for that. That'll be my April game.
I'm going to play it.
I kept hearing Broken Age 2, and what's going on with the first
I'm guessing it's got to be both of them.
You're speculating that it's both?
Yeah, because I don't... If it's episodic, I'm guessing it's got
to
be...
That's the thing, they're like, continue the story. And I'm like, well, you know, I really want to be able to...
First one.
Yeah. But that was Kickstarter.
There's a lot of...
It's really strange that, like, Kickstarter is kind of like this, you know, new presence where...
Yeah.
It's...
Where people you just fund it.
Yeah, but I mean...
I like the game.
Is it... It's not so much indie people, you know, like, doing this. And these are game companies and...
Sometimes.
A professional.
Sometimes it is indie.
Peter Molyneux.
Someone who's already paid to make games is like, well, I want to do something different. And then they get other people to pay for it. I mean, it seems like it's not really what they were going for in the first place, right? It was in order to get funding for real independent projects.
Yeah.
I don't know, I mean, it's just kind of a bummer that...
No, I disagree. If you're a company who would normally... Even if you've made video games before, but you don't have the skills to maybe go get someone to invest in your company, or like get a few key investors, this allows you to get like piecemeal, just like 1,000 or 10,000 donations, a very small amount to pay for it.
Yeah, so it's
okay that you're professional.
So if you if you pull your credibility into Kickstarter, that's just a bonus. Yeah. Like, hey, I've already made all these awesome games. Yeah. Give me $5.
If you've got an old brand that has power, you can throw it on Kickstarter, and that brand just you automatically get money.
Yeah, it's
like Banjo-Kazooie. Like, I'm pretty sure they're remaking or redoing.
It's a spiritual successor.
Okay, that's what it is. Yeah.
But and it's just
by all these people who loved Banjo-Kazooie back in the day. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
all these guys who now have jobs who are willing to pay.
Yeah.
To create.
All turning 30, start making some serious though.
Yeah, but I wonder if, you know, who's profiting from these games? I mean, like, do the funders profit? Are they shareholders?
They get exclusives a lot.
Yeah, they have tiers of like if you donate this much, you get like your face in the game. You get fucking credits in the credits.
Or you get limited edition, like, oh, you get this little coin, yeah, just like the, or star pin from a fucking flight simulator game. You get a shirt,
just shit.
Yeah, but that's bullshit.
It is bullshit.
I love that bullshit. I'd pay for that bullshit.
So would I. And think about this.
And you get a free copy of the game, obviously.
Think about all these cool concepts we have for games that don't come to fruition, and no one's afraid to tackle. If we saw one on Kickstarter, like, that's a fucking cool idea. Good on ya. Here's $100. Thank you for that free copy of that $60 game. Plus, you know, maybe not quite $40 worth of swag, but you get 1 in 400 swag.
And you can play that dope game you always want to play.
Yeah, and you get to help. You get to say, like, I fucking donated on that Kickstarter, you know, 4 years ago.
Have you done that?
No, but I've been thinking about it. I've looked at a few, and I haven't got back into it. Right. I would love to do that, though.
Hold on, though.
I'm into it completely.
I do the Banjo one. I guess
maybe it's not so bad, but if 500 people donate $10 each, and this game gets made, and then the guy sells 20,000 copies of the game, at $10. It's like, I'm the one who paid you to make that game. You know?
You're not getting shares in the company.
No, I know you're not. But I mean, doesn't it seem like that makes more sense? If I'm just paying actual, like, professional programmers to make games, you know, like, that's kind of, it's highway robbery.
That was the fucking, the scam with Oculus Rift. Like, TJ bought in as, Oculus Rift. And then once TJ and everybody liked TJ donated fucking, how much money did you donate?
No, I didn't donate. I paid for a development kit.
You paid for development kit. Okay.
Yeah, that's
maybe
different.
It's a little bit different. But
I'm thinking
then
if
Facebook
me
buys them out for $2 billion and you funded their process of development.
That's a little different.
I know, TJ I'm not funding them. I'm a developer and I'm believing this product's going to be something. Yeah. So I'm preparing my games that I'm developing today for when the eventuality comes.
Did you ever
comes
receive something like anything from Facebook? Like, thank you for fucking.
No.
Yeah, again, so
I'm not. They're not doing it for funding. They want you to cover the cost of the kit, and yeah, they're probably making money on it. But the point is to prepare developers.
But you just bought a product that existed. I'm talking about a game that is nothing. Yeah, it's in concept, and me and a class of 1,000 people pay for that to become a reality, and then fucking jackass turns it into, you know, 50 grand profit, 500 grand profit. Like, I'm not saying like they're criminals. I'm just saying like doesn't that make a little bit more sense?
What doesn't want to make more sense?
No, the idea of paying for the development of game. I'm not saying me personally, I deserve $500,000 for that game. But I mean, it makes more sense if like it shares, and like that's what an investment does. It pays you back.
But I think that's why
the cost of this game is going to be $10 when it finally launches, and I'm paying $10 to invest in that product. And I'm not trying to pick on whatever that fucking thing is called.
Kickstarter,
yeah. I mean, I understand what Kickstarter is. It's like, here's your perk, and you're going to help me make this game. But
I know what you're saying.
When you're getting professionals involved that are going to anticipate selling more copies of the game than they do have funders, that's where it gets a little bit unethical to me.
Let's put it this way. If they could have gotten a VC to fund their game easily, and they're just using Kickstarter so they don't have to give away 10% of their company, then I do agree. But usually things on Kickstarter are things that would normally not get funding otherwise. If they could get funding otherwise by giving away shares in their company, then yeah, I completely agree with what you're saying. That's bullshit.
If me and the other 500 board of directors want to invest in this game, then I would think we deserve a kickback a little bit.
Okay, let's consider this. If you are an investor, you're one guy, you put $100,000 into a game, and you get 10% of that company. So now you're investing, you got 1,000 people doing $100. You're going to give them 0.001% of the game.
Theoreticals are irrelevant because that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about me and a class of 500 people paying someone to make this game, and then they turn that into a profit.
You're right. It is the traditional model.
It's clearly stated in the description of what you're investing in.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, if you donate this much,
I'm not saying they're getting ripped
this
off.
This is what you're getting. You're not getting this much. Like, depending on what happens once we release the game.
Yeah.
It's totally different. You're getting a free copy of the game and what you agreed to pay with.
Yeah. Right. And if it was me and, you know, and I keep using the rule of 500 here, but like if it was me and 500 other people paying some guy to turn this into a game and he's going to sell 600 copies of this game, it's like, cool. I thought that was a good idea. He made the game and he sent me a copy and all it cost me was the investment. Fine. Yeah. But when you have fucking, look at Broken Age as a franchise now. You know, look at Broken Age as an intellectual property.
Okay,
that was funded by
you're looking at it wrong. Your perspective is valid. Like they could do that, and that could be a
every
a
sequel that they make to this game. Now that like we've
okay,
paid
yeah, for okay, the first one let me give you the perspective that they're coming at. Okay, I'm developing a game, and I don't have money or time to do it. So you guys say, here's $300 each to help me out. Now let's take that concept socially to the internet, where other people also believe in me. Because I've sold myself with my business plan, my idea for my game, and my talent. You know what I mean? So they're now, they have a resource to just give money to me, literally a donation, with zero expectation to get anything back.
Yeah.
But guess what? I'm also going to throw, you know, some limited exclusives to kind of like give it tiers and to, you know, really sell it. That is the perspective of Kickstarter. It's literally free money based on you've sold yourself to me and I just want to... It's more donation-based than it is investment.
Sure. The example of Toe Jam and Earl, fine. That game was not going to get made. So if I want that game, I'm willing to pay the $10. You do whatever you want with it. Give me my copy. But when you've got like the heads of fucking... who made the Monkey Island games? The Grim Fandango. What was that? What's that company called?
Shit. Double Fine.
Double Fine. That guy owns Double Fine, does he not? Peter Molyneux is
Tim Schafer owns Double Fine.
Yeah. Peter Molyneux is a giant in the industry, and he can get funding to make games.
Absolutely.
So what's
going
on
there? But he goes to Kickstarter. And then he
doesn't... Yeah, you make a good point.
So that's what I'm talking about.
There's a gray area.
I know what happened with all that, but I'm talking about just the concept of it.
But with Broken Age, it's like... Obviously, we can get funding to do this, but we don't want to give our money to fucking EA to do this. Can you guys back us up? Sweet, you did. Now, the sales of Broken Age Episode 1 have been so successful and huge that we can now fund Episode 2 and so forth without
It really is just a platform for donations. You don't have to donate.
Okay.
If they don't get donations, guess what? Go out there and get some VCs to fund your game. Or use your own company money.
VC? What? You keep saying this.
Venture capitalist.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like, I'm just saying, it's a little shady for professionals to beg for money.
Yeah, as an alternate means to like, oh, just get free money on the internet.
It's an unscammable scam.
It is a scam.
It is a scam.
It's a legit scam.
I'm going on.
The best kind of scam.
I'm making the new...
And it's perfectly...
Super Mario
How much would it
64?
Cost you to make Andrew?
I don't know.
$1,000?
No, I think more than that.
10,000?
Just say, yeah, sure, 10.
Okay. So...
What's the description?
What if me and 999 other people gave you $10?
Yep.
You can make that game.
Okay.
Now, could you, with a clear conscience, put it on the App Store and just make $1 million?
Yes.
Without giving back to your investors? All I get is a fucking Andrew toy?
I'm going to give you a free copy of Andrew 2.
You know what else could have happened?
Andrew 2.
I could have spent that money and maybe more of my own and like lost. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm waiting for the fucking saint that gives back to his fucking...
I bet lots do, probably.
Yeah, you know, they're probably not all huge hits.
You just got to realize that...
Peter Wong is a penis.
It's not an investment. It's not a place to invest. If you want to invest, go to E-Trade. If you want to... fun, cool projects and have pride and proud and support the community of developers or whatever the Kickstarter project is, you can go to Kickstarter.
You know what? I don't. I'm not going to invest.
That's fine.
Broken Age will come up for PS4 and I'll give them the $20 at that point.
Yeah, some other asshole is going to pay for it. Okay, then I'll buy it.
Consider this. There are projects that would never come to fruition from people who don't have money, regular Joes who have great ideas, and our world is a better place for having Kickstarter for those people.
I feel like if Ouya blew up, or Ouyo, or Ouya, Ouya?
Ouya.
If it blew up, I think now. You'd feel a little bit burned. How much did you pay for that?
Ouya, I didn't invest in Kickstarter. I just bought it.
Oh, shit. Never mind.
So,
you got any other $100,
by the way.
I do. I mentioned this because it's a big exclusive game to Xbox One. What are you doing?
No, I'm just checking.
Ori and the Blind Forest.
Oh.
Came out for Xbox
One. We got to talk about this.
I scammed DL'd it on PC and played it with my Xbox 360 controller.
Yeah.
So here's my question for you. Knowing that you think it is the greatest game of all time.
Ooh.
Are you going to rebuy it for Xbox One when you get it?
Yes.
Just for the Chivos and play it again? Okay.
Is that good?
It's that good.
Wow. It better be, otherwise you've
oversold. That's what I'm saying. It's like, as soon as I get an Xbox One, I was like, I can't wait to get the fucking Chivos that I could be getting right now.
And you get
I didn't realize it was Xbox exclusive until...
Well, it comes up, it's with PC as well, but who gives a shit? Who wants to play on PC? Nothing.
PC is nothing.
Like, I plug my Xbox 360 controller into it. I don't have to, like, go into controls and, like, access, like, Xbox controls or anything like that. It just automatically recognizes the controller. That's and cool. And I'm just sitting back playing, like, an Xbox 360 game, and it's fucking... It's awesome. My computer obviously chugs along, because it's, like, it's a really pretty game. A lot of stuff happens at certain points in the game.
Really?
But, it doesn't really detract from the whole experience. It's a good Metroidvania game. I've got like 75% through it. It's a 5 out of 5 easily.
That's pretty up. When you say Metroidvania, like, do you have to come up to a door and know like you can't get into that door? You've got to find an alternate route.
Yeah, like the map is exactly that. Like you open up the map setting. It's a 2D just.
Is it
like Shadow Complex?
Is it the beast that gets the powers, or like how you use the beast?
Beast isn't even there.
What? Okay.
Beast's dead 5 minutes. That's why I cried.
Oh, beast is dead in 5 minutes?
Spoilers.
The beast is dead, eh?
No.
Maybe he comes back. I don't know. But
that is it. That is.
But you're just the little light. The little light dude.
Yeah.
And you unlock different powers. It totally changed the game. It's not just like I get a double punch. It's you get stuff that's just like, okay, now I can finally reach that point, but it seems like a point I wasn't ever able to reach before.
Yeah.
But you pick up certain items, you get different powers. It's a great game. I suggest you buy it just so you can get the Chivos.
I want to buy it. I have a lot to play right now, but
the Metroid games are the first that I played where you're on a field, or not a field, but like a screen, you know, you're in a field of view and you look up and just like, that's way too high. You know, like I'm not getting to that.
That's,
you know,
true. Just, it's that, like, I tried to jump so many times. Yeah. Like, nope.
It's like, I'm not even close with my double jump. Like, and you just think, I have to abandon this. Yeah. There's no way to get to it. And
continue
that, like,
on.
Yeah. And then that makes it all the better when you finally do unlock the thing. Like, that's how I get up there, you know, and like that feeling is amazing. And, you know, a lot of side-scrolling games people will say are like Metroid-ish, but like that's the key to it is I'm not that fast. I can't jump that far. Like, I'll never be able to jump that far. There's no trick to it.
Yeah,
you just have to abandon those things and go left instead of right, and not know like when the next time you're going to hit that area again. Another example was Guacamelee was perfect like that. You know, fuck, I want to play that game. I'm pissed I don't have an
Ori?
Xbox.
Ori. Yeah. Ori's fucking down on PC.
Never.
You might be able to play it.
Never.
Maybe it'll come out for PS4 in 6 months.
For free.
Fuck, man.
Yeah.
It's very, very good. I can't believe how pretty it is.
Yeah.
Just everything about it is just like... It's kind of like Avatar. Like, the story is like Avatar. Like, there's like a tree that... gives life to the world.
Mother tree.
And, I don't know, it's really just kind of, oh yeah, that's nice.
So good, good exclusive for Xbox.
Do you know how much it is?
No idea.
$50, $20, $14.
Yeah, I want it to be 15, but
what would you pay for it?
Well, after that review, more 20, than 15.
25?
I'd pay $24.99 max.
Probably, yeah, I was saying,
no more than 25. There's no way you would pay $24.99 for that game.
Absolutely.
Not a chance.
No,
if that came out exclusive to Xbox,
nobody knows now.
And it got the reviews like 9.0, I'd be like, fuck, I gotta pay
$24.99. Not too sure.
I'd pay $24.99 for fucking Defense Grid 2.
He paid for Bloodborne too.
I paid for Bloodborne. I lost $20 in one day.
For 6 hours, though.
Because of that fucking shitty game.
It's $3 an hour.
I lost $20 that day.
Rainbow Six Siege Alpha gameplay.
Don't care. Next.
You don't care?
I was never big into the Tom Clancy anything.
But that one was Game of Show last year for...
Game of Show for E3.
Was it? Yeah. Or was it the VGAs?
I didn't vote for that.
E3.
I don't remember voting for that.
All the whoizies voted it.
Oh, you mean it officially done?
Yeah. Not our Game of Show.
That's what I thought you meant.
I didn't vote for that.
It looks fucking cool. It looks really cool. Like,
I'm coming around.
The alpha gameplay looks absolutely shit. Like, the guys are climbing the ladders, and they're 4 feet away from the ladders going... Because it's an alpha, but...
Here's another example of the companies ripping off the gamers, man. Hire people to test your games.
But they're playing a fucking game. This is testers playing the game.
Yeah, I'm just...
It looks cool, though. Like
the dog. Whatever that...
It was a...
That's a saying, right?
The level, let's say... It was, okay,
just pulling on your penis head.
It was Air Force One. The level's the Air Force One. You're the defenders. You're trying to hold the objective, which is a hostage. Like, you gotta protect the hostage. And you're just putting up barricades and stuff, like, wherever they can come in through the plane. And the terrorists are outside trying to come in and get the hostage out. Maybe they're the good guys. I don't know.
That's pretty cool.
But,
the terrorists.
Yeah. You have multiple ways to go through the plane. So you're standing on the outside, like, on the tarmac, going like, okay, you two go this way, we're going to go this way, we're going to go up, and you can blow up the fucking floors, and just, yeah, like, shoot down through the woodwork. It seems so cool.
That is cool. When you were talking about that, Air Force One, here's my train of thought, and I promise I wasn't just being myself here. It came up organically. But you were talking about the plane. I'm like, fuck, wouldn't that be awesome if, like, you could put C4 on the wall and then people just get sucked out of the plane? I'm like, oh my god, in space. Like, why isn't there that in space?
You're not flying, though.
No, but...
Okay, I'm
like,
sorry.
Why isn't all, like, Battlefield in space where, like, I could put C4 on a ship and then people get sucked out and I'm just like... Battlefront. I swear to god, that's
it was the end of a trailer. There's a guy going...
That's where my mind went. And I was just like, I'm going to have to mention Battlefront now. And this is going to be annoying for everybody.
This is Dan's pain.
Yeah, that's my pain. But I just... The way you talked about that plane, I was like, oh my god. Imagine putting C4 on a wall and hitting it and people getting sucked out.
Yeah.
That'd be so much fun. Just, ah, fuck! Just like, cut the sound, Dave, because there's no sound in space. Just... You're just watching the ship.
Just...
In your, like, respawn. Yeah, your little... 5 seconds of respawn, you're just floating in space. Shit.
You got anything else for us?
Yeah. there's one PS Plus game announced for April called Whoa Dave.
Okay.
I'm interested.
You're a little guy that throws aliens at other aliens to mash them up.
Yikes.
But it's made by the Bitrip guys.
Really? That's... Okay, well, I mean, I like so their...
That's one of the free games. It's not all of them yet. They haven't announced all of them. It's next week.
So is it like a Bit Trip Whoa Dave? Or, like, have they abandoned the Bit Trip?
It's one small area. It's like, say it's a fucking, like, original Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Like Mario vs. Donkey Kong type shit. Where you're just... You jump up on platforms, you grab something, you throw it at something else.
Yeah. But they, you know... It, almost as if their games were in the same universe. Like, you could buy Bit Trip Saga, and it would have all their games.
I don't know this.
So is it in the... Is it... Have they abandoned the Bit Trip moniker, and now it's just...
It doesn't
Whoa
look
Dave.
Like Bit Trip.
Well, if they're calling it Whoa Dave, they must have, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Because all their ones have Bit in the title.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
That's interesting.
So, that's going to be free. And, in comparison, Xbox announced their shit. They have Pool Nation coming up for Xbox One. I guess it's a pool game. You're playing pool.
Oh, really?
One of those fucking games.
Sorry.
I'd love to play that right now.
It's almost as if Runner 2 was a departure already. New art style.
Mm.
They called it Bitcher Presents Runner 2. The game was called Runner 2, you know? So
right.
It seems yeah, like true. They weren't really married to that whole concept moving forward.
Yeah, it's clear Bit Trip was like the fourth game in the series, right? And like they had finally nailed it. Like,
Runner? Yes, the other games with Runner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other games were great, actually, right? Like, we played a bit of them, and they were good games, but Bit Trip was, like, just gold, right? So yeah. They just took it, made an offspring, and then they kind of said, that's it. They kind of cut the universe.
It's kind of cool that they were just concepts. Almost like the whole Pixar thing, where it's like, oh, well, you know, we sat down and decided what movies we were going to make, and in that week, we came up with Up, Wall-E, Finding Nemo, and Toy Story. You know, like, that whole thing. It's like, they almost sat down, and it's like, okay, well, why don't we... Just instead of focusing on one, let's try all of them. Let's try all these ideas. And that was the Bit Trip saga.
Right.
But maybe they're done. Maybe they're just like, what else can we do? Like, you know,
they got a little bit of money in their pocket now. And yeah. They got bigger ideas, probably.
It seems like a leaderboard game, whatever it is.
Good.
It kind of seems cool.
Any little arcadey game, you got to expose it to the internet. And even like Meat Boy could probably, you know, could have used a leaderboard.
I wish they didn't.
Time Trials or something.
I wish we weren't kind of fucking expecting two games a month or three games a month. Just like, there's one shitty game, but there's this also sweet game you have to pay for.
I've been really happy with PlayStation Plus.
Any of them. I haven't played any of them.
Well.
I'm treating it like they're probably junk, and if I get something good in there, I'm pretty happy. Like, it's kind of ridiculous, but like, Ollie 2 came out.
Yeah,
and I'm like, thank you, PlayStation. I appreciate you now, even though I don't have time to play that game because I know they gave me a good game. Because
multiple times I almost bought Counter-Spy. I did buy the other one.
Shit, SteamWorld Dig. You only didn't play that because you bought it.
Dope ass game.
Yeah, that was free.
First Light.
First Light. My God, okay, First Light.
So free. I mean, we've been riding a high for a little while.
Yeah.
I can't remember what came up before. All right,
yeah. I apologize for taking it down. I'm sure Apotheon is a great game.
No.
Apotheon's probably great.
Yeah, don't be so sure.
Sucks.
It could get better. Like,
they don't
but
all
it's
have
not...
to be great, you know, because yeah. They're free. But I mean, like, they could all be shit.
And there was, like, there was a run where it got bad, I feel like. Started like, good, got bad, and now that's kind of getting good again.
There's some developer out there
that, I mean...
who's not getting any funding.
No. PlayStation, I think... puts money in their pocket.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, PlayStation loses money on going, no one's fucking played this game. I downloaded it. It's never started. I actually accidentally started it the other day. Because
well,
I was trying
no,
to play
no,
fucking
no, no.
Yeah, I was like, fuck. And then it gave me a 0% trophy thing. Yeah. But, update 2.0, you can delete any 0%.
That's yes. Awesome.
Can I change... When am I going to be able to change my fucking name?
Probably never.
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 But hold on. Make no mistake. Bucks. They're getting $50 a year from every single user. How many users are there? Millions and millions? Like, they're getting a lot of money just to keep us turning. You know
what?
Like,
what do you give to Apotheon? The Apotheon developers? I'll use $60.
Probably scratch. Hey, you're not going to make more than $100,000 on this game. We'll give you $70,000.
Well, think about it this way.
GameStop will give you the money to pay for your next game.
Yeah. Not only that. Like, I know with Xbox, when they launched, it's like, we need a reason for you to turn on your Xbox
70,000 is fucking nothing. It probably took those guys, like, 3 years to make that game. And there's, like, 7 or 8 guys making
yeah.
that game.
At my work...
Nothing.
At my work, there's a huge component. Just... Get them in the store. Get them inside the building. Get them inside the building. That's like more than half the battle. And that's exactly what they're doing. They get me to turn their PlayStation on.
Oh, what's going on?
And not even that. They get me constantly checking the store. What's in
I
the store?
I check it constantly.
Yeah. Like that. Honestly, if I didn't have PlayStation Plus, I wouldn't be going into the store as often as I am. What else is new? What else? And they get me in the store. I mean, like...
I honestly always
and
look
paying
for,
them,
like, for
I'm
like,
paying them for that.
I look so, I mean, for like freak... discounts because I've seen them before.
You're so lucky that you have a Vita.
Because I sold my fucking Vita. I don't have my
Vita
anymore.
It's still registered.
It's not registered.
Can you not go
and
buy Vita
games? Whatever, like, fucking Vita scam you think I'm pulling right now.
It's true.
It's not. If the game is on Vita and it's also on PS4, like a cross-buy thing, you can download it.
No, you just have to
find it on the PlayStation Store.
But the only example that I know I can bring up is that Thomas is Alone, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
It was PlayStation Plus for Vita members. So it was like, it was $6 if you had Vita, and then you could play it on your PlayStation 4. I can play it on my PlayStation 4, but as soon as I clicked it, it knows I don't own a Vita, so it tried to charge me $16. So that's the scam.
Yeah, it has to be cross-buy.
Yeah,
which I said, but you're right.
I won't get that deal.
I don't believe that.
Well, I'm pretty confident that's the way it is.
But if it's a cross-buy, you can buy it for the Vita version.
But I don't get the PlayStation Plus discount because I don't own a Vita. I have PlayStation Plus for PS4.
That's a fucking amazing programming.
Yeah. Well, it's not too difficult, but I mean,
you have to register your device to your account, right?
So you get more discounts because you registered a Vita. That's all I'm saying.
Vita sucks dicks.
Okay.
That's terrible. I just hate it. I sold it instantly.
I don't play it ever.
Instantly. Look at the deals.
I sold it. $160. It's more than what I paid for it.
Are we wrapping?
Wait, hold on.
Let me, by the way, I want to mention, you know those games? Apotheon, okay, probably sold, no, it was downloaded probably 20 times more than it would have been if they had sold it for $10. So if they offer them 1/20th of the price that the game actually costs, PlayStation says, you want to put it for $10? We'll give you 50 cents per download.
Listen,
they're making the same amount of money.
Nobody's downloading this game.
I downloaded it. I played it for an hour.
No, but if Apotheon was
on, but I would have not. Like, oh. I would not have paid $10 for that.
That's my point.
I'm on you.
One,
I'm with you.
Exactly. Yeah. So it kind of balances out. It's just PlayStation ends up eating that cost for you. Apotheon makes out better. Maybe they get a dollar per game and it doubles their profits.
Yeah.
So and then it's just PlayStation. No
one was going to play this game, but now it's fucking, it's on there.
Make no mistake.
Everyone's console.
Yeah, there is a number. There's a number for how much money they generate based on every single time somebody enters the store. You know, 30% of people are paying nothing. It could be more. It could be 60% of people are paying nothing. But like every time someone logs on, if you average that out, it's 80 cents every time someone logs on the PlayStation Store. And they just give you more and more reasons
right
to log on.
Yep. There's that too.
Yeah. Where do you go?
Like, I don't know. I don't need to go into it, but... No, I don't need to go into it.
Let's talk about the big fucking games that came out the past couple weeks.
Okay.
We're jumping into the games.
Games! Yeah. Games!
What games came out, guys?
Okay, so Bloodborne, I think I had the same impression that Chad did when he played it, which is...
Give me the IMDb synopsis of Bloodborne.
No, fuck it.
There is none.
What is it? Tell me about
There's no story.
I honestly don't
know. You wake up, you're born by blood, you gotta get blood to fight more bosses.
Okay, fine, yeah. Like
let me hear TJ's.
Alright, it's
TJ says what I say. You wake up in blood.
What's the...
You get more blood. Blood.
What's the period of Bloodborne?
Hold on. Take a step back. I don't care about the story. Tell me about the game. What game is it? What kind of game is it?
So it's definitely a Rogue game. It actually reminds me so much of Rogue Legacy.
Yep.
My experience with Rogue Legacy is the reason I continue to play this game. So basically the premise of this game is you go in to a world and you immediately get your ass kicked. And then you take that experience and you learn from it. You get better. And finally you get to a point where you
can learn from it in the sense where, okay, here's where I have to go left. Here's how I defeat this guy. Or do you actually level up?
No. The leveling is minimal. There is leveling.
So if I fucking minimal.
Chad didn't even get to the point where he leveled yet.
I did level once.
Okay, sorry.
And I said, fuck this game.
Sorry. If an enemy takes 10 hits, he's going to take 10 hits every time.
Absolutely. Well, you can level and then make it 8 hits.
You can make already your... we're de- de- departing from Rogue Legacy, but I'm not gonna constantly compare it.
Rogue Legacy, your stats go up and you get stronger.
This is the thing.
That's exactly it. And where they used to take 10 hits, now they only take one.
Hold on, Rogue Legacy.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Bloodborne.
Okay, Rogue cool. Legacy, when you go right. back, when you go back, if you don't stamp the level, like you said, if you don't stamp the level constantly changes. Bloodborne, exact same fucking level.
Yes. That is one difference.
You know, like fuck, there's this guy here, I'm gonna hit him real quick, I'm gonna go through, hit this fucking guy real quick, fucking fuckers. Just farm these pieces of shit.
But in Rogue Legacy, you focus on learning the enemies, and once you learn the enemies, you can adapt to the levels. And the levels themselves, like this room,
it's
similar to this room.
It's constantly changing, though.
No. Right? But there's a finite amount of rooms in Rogue Legacy, and you only have to deal with that room in Rogue Legacy. In the same way, Bloodborne, yeah, you learn the pattern, so that way you can accomplish it quickly, and then they give you a series of shortcuts, so you can just jump over pieces. Or really quickly run to a boss. I can run to a boss in a minute.
Yeah. Just
face him over and over again every minute. Of course, I'm going to lose all my health potions every time, so I have to kind of go and collect some blood echoes to get blood vials, but...
Annoying.
It is a little bit. Anyways, it's very much like Rogue Legacy. You go in, you're learning this giant area, and it's very interconnected. There's a lot of straightaways, just very linear paths you have to take, but then you open up other paths that kind of, again, create shortcuts. It's really well designed in that regard. I actually think it looks great.
Really?
Dude, when they pan like the city and stuff, like I think about like, holy shit, this area where I was at the bottom down here, I've actually been at the top this whole time. I knew the area. I didn't know they were like right connected. And you see the whole city, like it, that setting of like that old time in those buildings, I don't know, I think it looks great.
Mm-hmm.
I know they don't move, they move kind of anime-ish, like you say, or whatever. The character animations aren't strung together nicely. I don't give a shit about that, but...
Yeah, once I'm playing the game, I don't care either. I feel like, you know, it could look better.
TJ, let's clarify this whole responsiveness versus animation thing. What stance do you think I have on that?
You keep talking about the game.
I was so glad to hear what you said, because I've always recognized this. In games, you have a choice to make. You either lock people in animations, or you have them click a button, and then the animations become... disjoint and disconnected. So in other words, do you favor responsiveness?
Bloodborne does that, though.
Which one? First of all, Bloodborne, you're actually
attacking somebody with a slow attack,
yes,
you're locking that fucking animation.
Exactly.
You cannot jump out of that thing.
So it's not very
like you're stuck in a shitty animation
and
you can't jump out of the shitty animation.
Yeah, it lasts 0.8 of 1 second, right. But it feels like an eternity because you've changed your mind while that's happening. Like,
shit, I pressed O one too many fucking times, and now this son of a bitch is going to hit me.
Yeah.
Or just, he's going to poke you with fire. Fucking
motherfucker. Yeah, I think that is one of the most important things that gets overlooked in what makes a game good or what makes a game shit. Is like... You know, you want to feel like you're in control at all times. And good games will have to sacrifice fluid animation just to be responsive.
Here's where I disagree with
you. And I'm saying that's okay. So when you were saying, you called it jaggy. And I was thinking like, well, hold on. It must have to be jaggy or else it's unresponsive. Because if I decide I want to change my mind, the animation must turn quickly for me to bring up my shield, for example, or something like that. For
you can't.
So I mean, that's why it's so you're going to sacrifice one of the
punishing.
Other. Yeah. Well, maybe that's what the
like. If you fuck up your button presses, if you button mash, you can't button mash. Like you're dead.
Right, and that's where I disagree with Joe. This game is not a button mash game. Some games make it so every button you hit, it's registering.
I never said it's a button mash game.
Oh, okay. But you said you kind of favor responsiveness. Some games are made to be responsive. Other games are made to be. If you hit all those keystrokes, it's registering them and essentially playing them one after another. And you better not double tap a keystroke.
Because, you know, this one takes 1.2 seconds and this one takes 0.6 seconds.
Like Street Fighter professionals and any kind of game, those like head-to-head games, they, you know, like a quick punch versus a slow punch is very different. And the animations, like, is very important. And that's actually a really fast version of it. But
yeah,
and this is just happens to be the kind of game where... Yeah, you pick an animation, you wait for them to finish their animation, and then you time yours, so that way it, you hit them correctly.
Did you use the, the fast animation? Like, with the closed blade?
Yeah, always.
Most often?
Yeah.
That's the only thing I would use.
R1 close blade.
I dodge R1 just they don't attack. And then you lose your stamina, you jump back, gain it back, wait for them to attack, jump away.
But there's a lot more strategies when there's groups and you got to get them all to attack at the same time.
Yeah.
Or different enemies that have some of them have like a rapid succession, few attacks, or they have like four versions of different attacks, you know, like
I don't like how punishing the game is. Like I spent 30 minutes or something like that going through the same area and just slowly picking guys off. Like you find rocks and you throw rocks at them, like each individual enemy. You can target a specific enemy, throw a rock at him, he turns around, he runs over to you, just himself. You fuck him up.
I don't do that.
And then bring other people over, and it's just like, okay, I'm picking off one by one. All of a sudden, there's three guys somehow, and I'm dead. Mm-hmm. And then you spawn again, everyone's back in the same area that they were, and you have to do the exact same fucking strategy that you had, or you just try and fuck them up.
And this is where Rogue Legacy makes me have a new perspective on a game like that. The perspective is, you're perfecting it. You're not like leveling your character and being done with it. You're gaining the skill, literally. Like, if you drop this game for 2 months and pick it up again, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You're starting from one.
Rogue Legacy, you know what? I didn't want to get into this this vacuum of constantly comparing it to Rogue Legacy.
But
Rogue Legacy came after Dark
Rogue
Souls.
Legacy.
Dark Souls was the first in this, and Dark Souls is essentially Bloodborne.
Right.
So
Rogue Legacy is inherently fun. It's fun to move around those maps. It's fun to you know.
It is. Chad will agree. It's inherently fun to play Bloodborne.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, he loved going around hacking and slashing. It's when he lost all of his progress and had to do the same thing over again.
Yeah.
And felt like he was not moving forward that he got pissed. And Rogue Legacy, technically, it's the exact same. The only difference is they make you feel better about it.
The anticipation and the presentation of Rogue Legacy is like, I won't have to work more than 3 hours and to get good at this, you know? And like, and even then, you're towing the line of like, I might leave this game behind. With a hardcore game that demands 10 hours, 15 hours before it starts to give back, that's a tall order.
It
you
is.
Know, in today's gaming
and I'm not disagreeing with that.
So, I mean, that's maybe where...
It's also like a AAA $60 game, right?
Yeah, and maybe Chad expects that kind of reward earlier, you know? Where he's not willing to put in 20 hours and
to be honest,
taking a piss, so we can't cross-reference or cross...
This is where my opinion changes. So I had the same experience Chad did for, say, the first 6 hours, maybe it's even 10 hours, and I'm getting to a point now where, like, I'm having a hard time with the second boss.
Yeah.
Tim and Dan just passed him, and I feel like I want to just be done with this boss and move on to the next area. I agree that the level of difficulty and the pacing of the game is, it's too high. The pacing needs to be faster, and the difficulty needs to be slightly lower. Where
they
landed on difficulty versus pacing...
It may be the player. And I think at our age, and we're very accustomed to the experiences that are built for us and the experiences that we want to play, when it starts to demand too much of our time, you know, before it starts to give back, and it's just like, I expected this game to be done in 30 hours. I expected this game to be done in 15 hours. I expected this to take me 100 hours. You put those expectations on a game, and then when it's not progressing as quickly as you'd like, you start to turn on it.
Yep.
And that's happened to me.
No doubt.
I think this game is based solely on grinding. Like,
there's a lot of ins and outs and secrets to this game that are like just really cool and rewarding to learn. Then there are parts where there's long grinds, but it depends on you as a player and how skilled you are.
The first part of the game that takes a fourth of the game to get through, because people are saying it's 40 hours, it took me 6 hours to get to the first boss.
That's exactly what I'm talking
about. Were you not learning for those 6 hours?
I was learning, but it was just like, what the fuck am I going to get at the end of this? Like, am I going to get, like, something significantly better? Like, okay, I played for 6 hours. I've finally discovered how to beat every single enemy. I've remembered all their tactics. I've learned how to fuck them up. And now I get to this final boss. And it's like, fuck, I got so much money I can do something with now. Guy destroys me instantly.
Yeah, but you learn the strategy of that boss, right? And then you just run to him in a minute.
Yeah, but it's like, oh, I lost all of that money, and I can't upgrade now.
Well,
so you, I gotta grind again. I gotta grind so I could slowly get my fucking level up.
Again,
so
you,
I can maybe
you
beat
learn
this boss.
To either spend your either going for a run, you make money and you spend it, or you go directly to the boss and you don't worry about making money. You make a little bit of money, you go fuck, I'm gonna sacrifice a little bit of money. It's okay.
To me, that's the biggest, like, it is a video game. At that point, I'm just playing a fucking waste of time.
The worst part about this game is the fact that you can just completely lose money or your blood echoes, and that time is 100% gone.
I lost 45 minutes. Like, what made me sell it? I was playing it. I was on the fucking best run of my life. I made it from the spawn to the like the fireball or whatever.
Yep,
the roll. I beat everybody along the way, like the two beasts that are standing, like the two trolls or whatever.
Right.
I killed both of them. I killed everybody on the bridge, and I was fighting the one troll on the bridge.
Yep.
He comes running down, and Mandy's calling me. I'm like, oh fuck. So I take my headphones off really quick. You can't pause and actually pause the game. The game's
don't play
always
the game. This is all Mandy's fault.
That's true. And so I paused it, and then I was like, oh fuck, the game doesn't even pause. So
because you're playing online,
I put on
that's bullshit.
I put on speaker, and I try and jump away from her. I was like, yo, what's going on? What are you doing? And I'm just like fighting it, and like
the baby's kicking.
I jump away, and I'm stuck against a fucking barrel. And this guy just goes, and I'm dead. I'm like, fuck. And Tim tells me like, oh, you can go back and you can go and recover your blood echoes or whatever. So
if you can kill him without dying,
yeah. Like if you can get
back, oh, that was not a joke. I thought that was a
yeah. Like if you can get
I thought
back
that was a
to
wow
where,
joke.
If you can get back to where you died, this is the thing about you have to play Dark Souls in order to know the fucking functionality.
No, I figured so on my own.
But you get back to that.
It says blood echoes retrieved in his eyes.
I didn't
glow.
Know what the fuck that meant.
Oh.
Every time I seen that, I was like, okay.
Do you watch the blood echoes?
What do I do now?
Oh. By the way, you said there's no direction. You didn't read the notes. There's when you go to the Hunter's Dream, there's a slew of notes, like 30
slew
notes,
of notes
that
slew.
Explain. Yeah, a whole
of
slew.
What?
You could read
press
the notes.
O to dodge.
Yeah.
It's not,
I read all
it's
that
not
shit.
A problem to abandon a game if you're not enjoying it.
I'm defending some of the things that I know he didn't like up front. Like, oh, no explanation. Well, if you take
was an explanation. I took the time to do that. That's what took me so long to like to figure out what's going
okay.
on.
Well, they kind of explained.
Like, I totally invested myself into it. It was just when Mandy called me and I lost all that shit, and I fucking screamed on the phone. She's like, "What's going on?" I was like, "Fuck nothing. All right, whatever." And I was like, "Fuck this game. Like, it's just gonna be 60 hours of me being pissed off."
Yeah,
see, fuck that.
The only
like,
thing
Tim,
you, give, you, the only
want
thing
it,
you
take
get from
it.
That experience is the knowledge in your head. And we're so used to achievements. And like that's where we're pissed at Nintendo for not giving us more than the knowledge that we beat it. Or the knowledge
it's
of the level.
Not even that. Like, I didn't get any. Like, I didn't get further. I didn't get better.
You got better.
I didn't get better.
Come on. Having gotten to that spot, you could have got back there in half the time.
Yeah, but still, like it's like
no, I understand. They should give you like some kind of fraction of what you lost, or you shouldn't. The feeling of getting nothing for that is the fuel behind the game.
And
I
the
think.
Menu
hey,
system,
you have
guys,
to
love terrible.
Sorry, guys, if I can interrupt, just quickly.
Yeah,
I feel like this is the I've used this word before on this episode, but this is the vacuum that we often get ourselves into. Like we have the opportunity to get two different and polarized perspectives on the same game and communicate them like out to our audience or out to like the listeners or whatever. And that would be fine. But we get into this area where we start to try to convince the other people that maybe they're not correct because they disagree. Where I can hear Chad's perspective and his position on this game, and then I can hear TJ's and then take either one and decide which maybe perspective I like better.
Okay.
This is why we argue so much.
You have to argue a little bit.
Well, hold on. But
because no one wants
Chet's trying to tell us how he feels about the game.
Okay.
And you're telling him, hold on, you haven't thought about it this way. And maybe he doesn't want to think about it that way, and maybe you don't want to think about games the way Chad does. And we often get into this, and that's how the show ends every single week.
Fuck you, Games K.
You know what I mean? Like,
we is are this, too quick.
Is it the critical thinking and the debate what we want to present, or is or do
I,
we just?
I, want I feel to... I feel like TJ is a is the reviewer they put in charge of reviewing this game.
Like TJ is going to hold IGN, he's going to hold you accountable for your concerns
at IGN. IGN, Polygon, whatever, they're putting, like they have a team of reviewers they put in charge of reviewing different games. Some guy who fucking loves Dark Souls or loves, like, Demon Souls, whatever shit, goes like, I want to play Bloodborne. I want to review Bloodborne. They give that game to those guys that love that fucking masochism, that just love
the pain. I had this exact thought earlier this week.
And the pain of just, like, going through
That's
it.
That's why it reviewed well.
Yeah. The only people who are reviewing it are comparing it to the games that came
that
before.
That they also enjoy.
Yeah, like, yeah. These games are fucking great. No one has actually played it and said, like this is my first... I never played Demon's Souls. I didn't play Dark Souls. I hate the fucking game.
I bet if you read the full review of those people, though, they would probably... Almost all of them would disclose the fact that they are big fans and that it's not for everyone.
Okay, what would...
Why do they give it a 9.3 or 9.5?
Because that is their opinion, and they think you're crazy for not appreciating those things.
That's...
I'm getting back to what Joe
I feel like
before.
It's so misleading, though. There's got to be some, like...
Well...
Okay, give this to Joe.
That's why they don't want
you
to skip
there.
Down to the 9.3, right? They want you
sorry,
to read...
I didn't mean to say Joe,
I don't,
you know.
No.
It's like Joe Schmo, you know?
No offense. Taken. Yeah, but the thing is you're right. They give it to one person. Dan is also right. We have a vast perspective. Like, we all see games differently. We all appreciate games differently. Do we need to debate?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Can I address your point now?
Yes.
Okay. So, I know what you're saying, I think. And I agree. Sometimes someone says something, and we jump back at it.
Fuck you, game's gay.
And then there's no structure.
Well, Chad will say,
I'm uninterested.
I don't like that it's this, and you're like, well, you must like that it's that way because this is how I feel.
No, see, that's the good stuff. That's where I'm going to say, sometimes we need to wait and finish the point someone's making and then debate back at it, but the debate does need to happen, and I enjoy...
But
personally,
Chad's never going to feel the same way about it as you do.
But that's
right.
Fine.
That's why it's not debate. It's like,
fine.
No.
I hear what you're saying.
This
is how I feel about it.
I want to throw it
and
my perspective.
I don't need to tell you you're wrong.
And see if it affects your perspective. Just like you throw out your perspective to me, or Chad does, and I say, oh, that's a good way to think about it. Actually, when you think about it that way, you know, it's I don't know, the back and forth is, you know, there's half of our listeners represent Chad and half of them are me, let's say, in a particular debate, and they want to hear me explain to him, this is the way I feel about it. And he says, yeah, I see that, but I feel this way because of this. And then we're comparing it to old experiences. I think there's value in that. I think there's a balance between just straight up reviewing it and just saying, this is my opinion of it, and leaving it alone.
Yeah, if TJ would say something like, oh yeah, good.
You're right. By the end of the night, we
all I'm saying
is... We need to fucking combat each other.
We do. First of all,
absolutely.
That's Chad's favorite part of the podcast.
Oh, yeah, you love it. And when we get...
I like
this
it too.
This is what it... Like, come on.
I'm just debating over whether we should debate
totally,
or not.
I'm not going to totally accept... I can't totally accept Dan's fucking 10 out of 10 review when I think the game is utter bullshit.
There's a point where we need to
but
cut
But that's
it.
Where we break down. No, it's shit. No, it's not.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
As soon as the first person goes... Uses the voice. Oh, it says something just like completely like
this fucking guy loves Mario games.
That was like the Dan this week on our
baby
fucking
games.
Thread,
okay,
right?
Yeah. When we attack our own,
see, and that's
each
the thing
other,
though. Like we'll get at each other's throats.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I'll say something that I think is a valid fucking point and be like, "Sorry's not fucking bricks and clouds." Sorry, Dan, but that's the example that I can think of right away. Like, sorry, it's not bricks and clouds. Like, that's don't reduce me to that because I get offended.
Okay,
I'm not gonna defend that.
You're pulling up shit that has nothing to do with Bloodborne right now.
Okay, yeah, all right.
I'm actually kind of glad you addressed
this.
It's
your own fucking baggage.
It is my fucking baggage. But I mean, that's why we're putting Meow Meow Beans out there. So it could prove that yes, my opinion is relevant, or no, my opinion is not relevant.
I fucking hate everything. So.
And you should own it. And you know what?
People I do might, own wait, it. Listen, I do fucking
people,
own it, man.
People might love that about you, and that's why you'll have more Meow Meow beans.
Oh, no beans.
You'll have so many beans, because...
I give myself probably 3 out of 5 beans. If we're going 10, 7 out of 10 beans.
I'll give myself 3 out of 5 beans easily.
3 out of 5 beans.
So I'm talking about. I don't want 5 beans.
3 out of 5 beans?
Not everyone's going to love me, just the majority.
I definitely get somewhere in the middle.
2.5.
I feel like I get high points in some areas and real low points in others.
Where do you feel that you get low points?
I feel like
low points is I'm overly optimistic and I'm not fair to games that are bad.
You are very optimistic.
But I'm also very logical and I...
That's true.
I very stick to... I take emotion out of it sometimes.
You do?
But I'm too optimistic. I need to...
So you gotta be that's fucking cynical, man.
Yeah. Sometimes in a
you know
game...
What? You know
I think
what?
I would minus you half of being... you're very combative.
I am very combative. That wasn't the point where I was giving myself the most negative me and my beans. I was just being too optimistic. Sometimes I need to...
I feel like you get beans lying for to being myself combative.
Just say this game's
whoa!
Bad.
You get beans for being combative.
That's definitely a negative bean. Because you're not... Listen with your ears.
But you know what? Actually...
Let's say
I think we all lose a half point for that.
Let's talk about Hardline right now.
I don't have to be combative.
Sometimes...
You do.
You don't listen to what I say. You don't listen to what anyone
I feel like sometimes
says.
You don't listen to me. And this is probably... Yes. You're
Dan,
right.
Dan was bad for last week, actually.
Honestly, I got a little bit of booze going in me. And yes, sometimes I don't listen. And I can hear it every...
blood level times the combativeness. Blood and then you get retrieved.
I hear it week after week. I'm like, why am I not letting TJ finish what he's trying to say? But, I mean, it happens. And it's and a lot of fun. Too. It's a lot of fun while we're doing it.
Yep.
But anyway,
yeah, that's a time.
I think Dan really wants to go home and... kill us all.
Dan's wild card.
Just kidding, Dan.
No, I'm listening. He's not listening.
I was loving... He's listening. I was loving how much Dan was getting mad and then just going, I fucking hate you guys. And then we all just laughed about it. It was great last week.
I know where Dan's heart is.
I'm not fucking Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. But anyway, at least now we've put our cards on the table. On our sleeves.
Did you review Bloodborne?
Like,
can you review Bloodborne? Like a star rating?
Chad said why he doesn't like it.
I can just give my first impressions. Basically, you've got to be optimistic to play this game. You got to think about games like Rogue Legacy. You got to understand it's demanding. You're going to put a lot of time into it. You got to alter your expectation. I felt like I'm having a hard time even altering my expectation right now to still feel like I'm getting things out of this game, even though I'm not progressing.
Mm.
So if you're... I don't know. If you're not playing a lot of games and you want to dedicate yourself to that game, it's worthwhile. That's my advice to listeners who are thinking, like, do I want to buy this game?
You know what?
Probably you don't want to buy the game. Most people don't want to buy this game.
No.
I find that trophies are often a hindrance in... You might look at a trophy that says, like, do 100% of these.
They're all
missions.
Fucking hidden in Bloodborne.
And 1.1%.
That's
I'm not joking.
Yeah.
90% crazy. Of them are 0.1%.
Because it's a fucking AAA game. But it's kind of to the point I was trying to make. Okay. Using Ollie Ollie as an example, it would say, like, get all pro stars. Like, there's little challenges. There's 5 challenges per level.
Yeah.
And it's like, get all your pro challenges. And I might work my ass off to get 90 out of 100 of them, knowing that I may not get those final, you know, like, those final 10.
Yeah.
It's just like, why did I do... Like, it was fun, yeah. But, I mean, why did I do 90% of that? Why did I get myself 90% of a trophy? You know, and it's just that... And knowing that and anticipating that and seeing, like, that's going to be way too hard. It's just like, do I need to do 50% of that? Like, something has to keep you involved. Something has to keep you going. And if you're just not willing to participate, like, I'm in the first 25% of this game... And I'm nearly not willing. Like as hard as I try and get 50% of the way, there's no way I'm going to get through this thing. So you start to reject it. You start to like say, "This is fucking stupid. I don't even want to get through it. I don't want this to take 100 hours. I wanted this to be a 20-hour experience."
And what you're saying is,
and now I'm
the
6 hours
trophies?
In. No, it's just the expectation that you're going to get to the end. Like you want the payoff, and you're not willing to wait for it. And trophies. Exemplify that almost 100%. They tell you where the end game is, and you get to sit there and say, like, not gonna do that.
Yeah, before you've invested minute one.
Yeah, the game's Fallout to Fallout 3, actually, when I was, like, really into achievements, and Fallout 3, like, would give me a trophy, or sorry, give me an achievement, like, finish the game with this much positive karma, finish the game with this much negative karma. Like, that's two different playthroughs.
Ugh.
I'm not, like, and if you're going after...
I hated that shit.
If like, you're going after platinums... 100% this game. If you're going after platinums or 100%, it's like, you're constantly the opposite of a reward. Like, you're being, like...
Wow, I got one of the achievements on this playthrough. Great.
Yeah.
It's Second Son is a better example of that, by the way.
Second Son is a better example because... You can follow. Yeah, and Second Son is inherently fun. Like, it's inherently, like,
but I did not want to play it twice.
Use the controller. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to float around in that world because it's so much... It feels so great. Like,
Fallout has a great argument in the sense that replayability of Fallout is much greater than Second Son is.
Not disagreeing.
Okay.
But, I mean, for someone who's not... Who hasn't, like, invested in Fallout and doesn't know, you know, like...
No, actually, I completely agree with your point about trophies. And I think that's why Nintendo doesn't want to do them. You lose sight on why you're playing the game. And you do start having demands about, like, there's no trophy for this, there's no reward, why am I doing this?
That's a really good point. You know, we pick on Nintendo for not having trophies, but maybe they have a really good argument for not including them in their games.
Well, their games are very linear, though.
If
you play 3D World, beat it as Mario, beat it as Luigi.
What game has the challenges?
That is linear, and that was annoying.
But that'd be good. That'd be good. It's like, okay, I can beat it as Mario, and I can play it again. I'm totally, like, that's conceivable. I can totally grasp that. It's not like...
You know what? I'll bet you
go into Wind Waker. Wind Waker is a pretty crafted experience.
Yeah. I'll bet you that 0.5 people have gotten that last star in Mario 3D World, and the fact that I fucking did it and probably played that same level for an hour and a half every night for probably a month and just beat it, and they were like, beat it with everybody else now.
An hour and a half every night for a month.
I swear to God. While Shelby was watching TV, I played it on the gamepad for an hour and a half every single night.
Fuck.
Trying to get to the end. Trying to get to the fucking flagpole.
How'd you not smash the thing?
It was fun.
See, achievements are like...
it was fun.
You should buy fucking Bloodborne.
No, he wouldn't enjoy it as much. Because it gets repetitive.
You would not like
Bloodborne. Repetitive? Are you joking?
No, no, no.
Every single degree of like analog.
You are upgrading in Rogue Legacy, though. You upgrade. Significant like improvements in your run. Like I did this. Bloodborne, you see fucking nothing.
Rogue Legacy, when I die, I don't care. I slash, and it's so much fun every time.
And
it's
loads
fun
quick.
In Bloodborne. But there's a point where it's not fun in Bloodborne, and you're just... Like, I literally played, I died like 6 times in a row, wasted an hour and a half. Your experience, but like
Did you swear loud?
No, I don't.
You know what?
I just get...
Rogue Legacy is...
I get angry, like in Battlefield when I die, I'm like, you son of a fuck. But like, in Bloodborne, I was like... Like, I was ready to fucking just... God damn this game!
I had a Rogue Legacy point to make. You know, it's accessible. It's the Rogue game for me. You know, like it's just a pick up and play. But Chad, the way that you play Battlefield, have you ever seen Fury?
The movie?
Yeah.
I've watched parts of it.
There's a moment in Fury where I'm like, that's fucking Chad. Like, and it's just this weird thing. Like, there's the one young guy. You know about the young guy who just joined the team? And doesn't like, he doesn't have it in him?
Yeah.
Man, at one point they siege like on this, I think it's in like a village or something like that, and everything starts going wrong, there's bullets going everywhere, and finally this kid just like, there's Nazis running out of a building, and he's just like, like just killing him. He's like, fuck yeah, just screaming. I'm like, oh my god, that's probably the best feeling that a person can have in their entire life. Like, just like, yeah. Just like screaming, like I immediately thought of you playing Battlefield, and like I was just like, "Oh my god, that is it!" Like that's the feeling that Chad gets when fucking he's playing Battlefield.
Yeah, you did a good run, man.
He just takes it down, like, "Fuck yeah!" I immediately thought of you,
dude. What I've been playing recently? We're going off topic.
I kind of want to mention something about achievements.
Yeah, go. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. What you mentioned about playing through as Luigi and like beating it, achievements. Have great intentions, but they bring out the worst in us. So they reward you for getting there. But then once you can see them and you try to get it just to get it, it becomes bad. You know, like, reward you for something you're already going to do, is that's the purpose of achievements. That's the,
yes.
Then play through the game again.
No, the difference is...
But if you weren't going to play through again, and knowing that that's what the achievement is, makes you play it again, that's bad.
But you still have fun doing it.
No, but listen, Mario Galaxy 2, what, and I hate to be the cliche Joe Mario, but like... Hey, in Galaxy 2, you unlock Luigi at the end of the game, and it's like, hey, play every star as Luigi. Yeah. But Luigi's play mechanics are different. He jumps a little bit higher, he floats for a little bit longer, he's not as tight with his running, and it's almost like play it on hard, which is acceptable. I'll play through it again. Yeah, I had so much fun, I want to do it again.
Exactly.
They up the ante a little bit. But with 3D World, it's like, do it with everybody, and you may not have fun playing with those characters because it's not like the type of character you want to be. It's not as fun, you know, and... It's just like, I'll go after trophies if they happen to be fun. Plants vs. Zombies. It was like, get the Endless Siege or whatever.
That was fucking awesome.
Get to 35.
I played
it's like,
so
I can
many
make
times.
It, I can make it to 30 100 times, and it's so much fun getting there.
They're like little challenges that you like to achieve. So those are still good. But what I'm saying is that when it makes you do something...
They're towing that line of annoying. Like,
right.
If I am not going... Like, hey, be careful when you set those trophies, because if I don't think I'm going to enjoy one of them... You know, like, I'm going to abandon this game even before I've given it all it's worth.
Okay,
get 10,000 matches and fucking...
Towerfall?
Well, that's extreme. That's maybe ridiculous. What I'm hearing from both of you is that if it's not fun, you will abandon it. But there's a lot of achievements sometimes. You just achieve a hunt, and you're like, this isn't fun. And you get mad,
because,
like...
No, because it is achievable. That's the whole thing. Like,
sometimes the aggravation is fun. And it's like, it's...
But sometimes it's
not. I'm so fucking close to it.
It's
so close to getting it. It's
such
like, I finally
balance.
Got it.
Yeah. There's
You're not wrong.
I mean, hey, we should give props to good trophies. Like,
yeah, bullshit trophies and bullshit achievements are just.
Why do you want me to do this four times? It's annoying and I hate it. I'm not even trying.
I hate this game. I don't want to play this game.
I fucking hate this stupid game.
Yeah. And then you try and then you fail and then
what
you
the
go.
Fuck, are we talking about?
I don't know.
Bloodborne.
Yeah, Bloodborne. All hidden trophies. There's one that says, like, get a special gem or some shit. I think it's the only one that you can see.
No, there's, like, three that are collect these things and special gems, special whatever. Most of them are probably just bosses.
But yeah, like, I, as a review, I understand that there is an enjoyable experience to be had. Like, the fucking game had its hooks in me. Like, I was like, I still want to play, even though I hate this fucking game. I still want to play it. I sold it before. I was like, I don't want to have a 60-hour experience of being frustrated for the whole time. Okay. So, the game, to me, I'd say it's in 4 to 5.
But you agree that, notoriously, Battlefield will take a good 30 hours just to...
Nope.
Break the cusp of what makes that game fun.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
You gotta have good internet.
Anyways.
I swear to God. You'll be in.
Alright. Are Bloodborne? We gonna talk about Hardline at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, someone put a Hardline.
Alright, sure. I'm gonna make
it. Whoa, give you a review though.
Bloodborne?
Your final thoughts on Bloodborne.
I just want to say, they made the game they wanted to make. It's an excellent game for what it is. It's just not for everybody. If I want to average it out for everybody, it gets a low rating. If I want to say, for the people who enjoy these types of games, yeah, it's like a... It is a 9, 9.5.
Be careful. What's TJ's rating out of 5 stars?
Man, I play it 1 hour, and I give it a 9.5. I play another hour, I give it a fucking 2.2. Like, it's...
no. Not
my rating? Then
not allowed.
I have to go middle way and just like give it 4 to 5, give it an 8, or something like that.
You guys both give it 4 to 5.
4 to 5 for Orange Mode score.
You know what I should have said is you know we always talk about that experience where like, oh, we go to school and we talk about the game?
It is that.
Our chat,
yeah, you begged for that.
Is lit up with like, how do you do this? How do you do that? And I fucking love like, I got here and I'm explaining to Doug because he's new how to do this. And then now Dan is talking about I beat this boss. I'm in this new area. Like, we're actually the internet is actually lagging behind with like a, it doesn't have a complete walkthrough because it's so fucking hard that no one's got all this shit, you know what I mean? Or it's like, yeah. It's not all in one place on one site you just go to and it has all the answers.
I feel like that's, isn't that really fucking simple to do?
What's simple?
To create a game that's just, okay, I'll just make it really stupid, retarded, difficult, and...
Probably.
Oh, we'll create this whole kind of phase.
Here's the hard part, is keeping the hooks long enough, right? And yeah, and the more we talk about it...
There is a balance.
And like Rogue Legacy nailed it, but... And they're really toying with the line of Bloodborne. We're like, I've debated like giving it up a few times.
Yeah.
But then I hear Tim and they beat the second boss. I'm like, fuck, man. And then some of these new areas that are like unfathomable to me because they're not even part of the setting of the game that I know it to be in so far. You know what I mean? So it's cool like that. Like we're leaning on each other completely.
Cool.
So, and we all read little bits online, but then we bring it to the conversation.
But the underlining, the silver lining is it ever going to give Chad what he wants? You know, like, you're willing to go after that kind of high when he might not.
And I think the answer is no.
And there you go. So you made the right choice.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I don't regret my choice at all. I know.
No, I'm saying that's exactly. And you didn't make the wrong choice. You did something TJ wouldn't have done.
Right.
You know what I mean? I
got to get this thing out of my life.
You need to be...
I yelled at my pregnant girlfriend. I'm not sure if I can fuck this game.
Why are you so stupid? I'm playing Bloodborne.
Hey, what do you want to eat tonight?
Fuck! Fuck!
What?
Oh, fuck!
What's going on?
I don't give a shit about food!
Well, what happened?
I think
I died in this fucking game!
Our women could get together and...
Oh, my souls are gone!
Have a podcast about how much they eat. Hate how angry you get about video games like that. Like, this one time, TJ, I just asked him to like change Desmond's diaper, and he's like, "Yeah, no problem." And then he went back to his computer screen, and he was dead. He fucking got mad at me. That's what happened with Bloodborne, man. They could swap stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
woke Mandy up like four times yesterday playing Battlefield with Kyle.
Fuck! Hey, Battlefield, there's a new Battlefield game out.
What's it called? It's called Hardline.
Think about it. Anyway, I heard this shit. To be honest, I heard it's no good from Chad and from Kyle.
Yeah.
And from the internet.
Yep. I didn't even go into the multiplayer because I played the beta. The beta was like last month, so what the fuck has changed like drastically that's different, right?
Yuck.
So I played the campaign. I played the first, there's 10 missions, and I played the first 5. And it's really stealthy. Like you can go around and just, you have a big open area.
Explain the main new mechanic, right?
The main mechanic is arresting people.
Right.
Like you
non-lethal
can...
Non-lethal takedowns.
You can press, is it L1?
L1, yeah.
You press L1 and you flash your badge. And you can flash your badge up to 3 different people.
Hands in the air!
Freeze! Like,
put them up! And you have to keep your gun on all of them. Like, you have to manage, like where you're putting your gun.
While you walk up to one and take the one down and put cuffs on them. And then you put your gun on the next guy.
Yeah, like, you just hold them down kind of thing. And that's fun. It sounds, I love it. It's fucking cool. It's cool to do that. And it's cool to, like, go around and just sneak through everybody. But, like, the further you get in the game, it just seems impossible to arrest everybody. So it's like... I would load out with a sniper rifle, it's still fucking cool.
Sniper rifles are killing machines.
Yeah, rifle with a silencer. You throw a rock to some guy. He walks out like, oh, what's that noise? And he walks out and goes to investigate. Headshot. He's down. Throw another one out. The guy walks out. He's like, what the hell?
Another rock.
First of all, they're not rocks. They're shells, which is actually
shells.
Really cool.
Sorry, yeah.
Where they flick them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ting.
You got bored with the campaign, even, you're saying?
It just got a little predictable, and it kind of lost that whole stealth aspect throughout the end of the game.
Okay.
Where it was just like, there's no way I'm going to be able to stealth by every single one of these guys. So I'm just going to shoot everybody and get my way in. And the story was kind of stupid. It lost itself.
Was it?
Yeah.
I feel like the stealth was like a an optional cool thing that they tacked on. Like, yeah, you can do this. But it is so much fun that I'm like, I want to get this whole area stealth, and I am going to get pissed if I lose that.
Exactly.
Even though that's not Battlefield experience.
Yeah.
So I see what you're saying, but
I was loving
like, this kinda... game. Like it suffers from an identity crisis. I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, people who want Battlefield are not getting it.
Yeah.
And
well, like there's and can't, also there's
it's not Hitman. You know what I mean? Like, well, okay, yeah, you're right. There's the multiplayer, but. And this is wild speculation based on what I've heard. What I'm hearing, I mean, from Polygon, first and foremost, is it feels like the game that nobody wanted. A game that was in development, and there was some sort of pivot, and all wild speculation, but I'll attribute it to Star Wars. with DICE and Visceral needing to fucking, hey, we have this thing, we've been working on it, let's get it out.
Mm.
Don't need to get into that. But it seems like... Why, if you asked me a year ago, you know, why would Visceral be making a Battlefield game? It just doesn't make any sense. And, you know, Visceral might have had the idea. I don't know if DICE had the idea or Visceral, like, why don't we do Cops and Robbers? But it seems like they don't commit to either. They don't commit to Battlefield. They don't commit to the Cops and Robbers thing. And it just suffers from an identity crisis. It's really neither of both.
I feel like it's very Cops and Robbers, actually.
Yeah? Tell me about it.
The storyline, I mean, it's so, like, classic, like, police, like, you know, corrupt cops and...
Campaign's easy to fake. Like, and have you played the multiplayer?
Yeah.
So
I played 3 of the 10 episodes of the campaign and a decent amount of multiplayer.
I think the campaign is a good, like, romp. Like, I think anybody should go through it. It was pretty fun. It was fun to try and sneak through and play silently and play like on the hardest difficulty and try and get through without being seen and stuff like that. I thought that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Does it
play like scripted Battlefield matches, or does it play like that's what I felt about the Battlefield 4 campaign? Was it felt like a scripted scrimmage? Like it you know like with it was very much a wide open multiplayer map. And they just
in the campaign
charted me a path. Yeah, that's what I felt like Battlefield. Whereas the obvious comparison is Call of Duty, which very much felt like a scripted path. Like we want you to experience this scene and this area, and it seemed very on purpose.
Yeah, Battlefield was like, do you want to kill this guy first or this guy? Yeah, like, you're still going to get to the same end point. It's just
it just seemed like a. Maybe some points weren't exactly like this, but yeah, it seemed like they're dropping in a multiplayer map and then scripting people to come in and hold certain checkpoints.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, as much as you want to make it feel like Cops and Robbers, like you could be going through the campaign and it's just, I don't know, cheap, I guess?
Like it doesn't cheap make campaign. Sense. Like,
campaigns,
like,
you want to be cinematic, you want to be...
It's more like Call of Duty, though. There's a lot of corridors, really? And like you're moving through a very linear path. I've only played 3 episodes, and there's one where you're on the lake, and you're driving the boat.
Yeah.
And it is more open. You go here, then you go here.
That one's cool.
Yeah, but the rest of them are more Call of Duty-like, where you go in this little room, and there's a laptop, and you do some shit. Yeah. And then you go this path, and then you do some more shit. Like, it's actually...
But that level had really good stealth.
I'm surprised.
Like, where you would... It was almost like Far Cry. Where you,
the boat
you
thing?
Would, yeah. But, like, you'd get off the boat, and it's like, okay, survey the area.
And they had a lot
of... How were you going to take
like Far Cry.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Like,
they've definitely
gaining interest. You know, like
the campaign's cool. I the first half of the campaign is great. First half of the campaign is fucking awesome.
Wow. But,
it's not like I remember the first level of Battlefield 4. Just floods of guys coming in on these beams and this
so
way
stupid.
And in the house, and just they're all shooting and it's all cover and shoot. It's not that. It's like, maybe there's a room, maybe there's 6 guys in that room, and you have to try to take them down one by one stealth, so you're like,
see,
you kind of
like
separate them. Yeah, and then...
It has like a Splinter Cell thing where you open up a phone, but it's like some cheap, I don't know what the hell it is.
Oh yeah, like a targeting system. Yeah,
yeah.
Some kind of scanner, you just go...
Yeah, you kind of mark everybody, and it shows them on the map like where they are. So it's like, okay, I'm going to know where that guy is. I see him turn around. I'm going to go in, freeze, and you fucking arrest him. You get
the campaign
points.
Is definitely not traditional Battlefield.
That seems fucking awesome.
It's fun.
It seems pretty deep. Like, you know, again, from what I'm hearing, is it's neither Battlefield or Cops and Robbers, but it seems like it's pretty far towards Cops and Robbers.
Yeah,
man. They go on the fucking police station and they got the fucking the bullpen and the offices with the windows and shit. You're going in there like, Ramirez, you're doing, you know, you gotta do this.
One more outburst and you're I'm having your badge.
Right now I feel like the story is almost over the top, like, oh, corrupt cops.
But
like,
it sounds awesome. I want to play this game.
They lay on thick with Cops and Robbers. They fuck. Do.
Give me lend First me your half. Lend me your five disc episodes. One.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about the last five. Now, but
lend me your disc one.
Disc one, sure. I'll only need disc one when I'm done. Disc one
disc
of one.
Two?
This one is also disc two.
Really?
Disc one out. Of one.
I just want your campaign disc.
There's only been one disc since PS4. It's fucking Blu-ray, man.
No. Battlefield 4 is two discs.
No.
Yes, it is.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it is.
No.
Pretty sure it's not.
No.
Is it?
I have one Battlefield 4 disc.
Yeah.
All right, Battlefield 3 then. It's two discs.
Battlefield 3 was two discs. Because it was on Xbox. But
give me your disc one.
But the multiplayer, like the campaign is only, maybe you can play it a couple times through. Like there's an achievement to play it on like hardline difficulty. Which is what I thought I was fucking playing on at the beginning.
You have to unlock it, right?
Yeah, you gotta unlock it once you beat it on hard. Which I played on hard, but then you played on hardline, which was the most difficult. I'm not gonna play it again.
Yep, me either.
And then the multiplayer. Multiplayer's I hate it. It's a mess.
You know what, Dan?
That's where it suffers the identity crisis.
Yeah?
It's not Battlefield?
It's Cops and Robbers. Which is just like, the robbers have cars. They don't have tanks. They don't have...
There's some kind of armored vehicles, but they're nowhere near as good.
Yeah, it's not like a huge... Like, every map we've played, like, even the biggest maps... are nowhere the size of Battlefield 4 maps. And, like, you have 64 players, but it's 64 players and, like the block. The block is worst.
Yeah, it is the worst.
It's just too congested?
Oh my god. It's so tiny. It's like...
That's annoying.
It's like three giant hallways.
With
interconnecting hallways.
Kind of thing.
And a few buildings in between you
go. It's Blockfort, essentially.
Yeah, Blockfort with 64 people.
I don't know that that's a bad thing.
You know what? There's strategy to be had in that. And by the end of that, one of the rounds we played, I was fucking killing it. I was loving it because I was doing well.
Just pump as many green shells.
But you can also go out and get your ass kicked over and over again and get really pissed.
Like, I would spawn and there'd be three guys right behind where I spawned. Just like, oh, sweet. That's fine.
That's annoying.
You know what actually seemed like a good thing, but that ended up being a bad thing, was the money system. The idea of, like, I'll buy what I want.
Yeah.
But then there's, like, I feel like a limited things you can buy, and I feel like I'm afraid to invest in something without trying it. Battlefield, it was just like, this thing, like, unlocked.
Try this fucking thing out.
That felt cool, good. Effect. I felt like leveling up. You know what I mean? Yeah. And just give me that. I'm okay with it. Like, there's so much shit, it happens all the time, and it feels good. Whereas if I'm like, okay, you only get this rare, you know, it takes a while to get $30,000.
I spent my 3 hours of playtime on this one gun, and it sucks.
Yeah, and I hate it, yeah.
And there's, like, fucking five guns.
But again, total. Like, the expectation is that you just keep playing and keep getting new guns. Like,
it doesn't have a draw like Battlefield
4. You're afraid to make bad decisions. You know, you said this both times with Bloodborne and with Hardline. It's like, oh, I'm spending all this time and I purchased the wrong thing or I invest in the wrong skill.
I'm not worried about that. And then it's like, ah, shit,
you know? But, I mean, both times it's taken you right out of the experience.
No, no, no.
You feel like you've been cheated.
I was cheated in Bloodborne. I was cheated in Bloodborne because the time I put into it did not fucking pay off whatsoever. You get a millimeter growth on your stamina bar, which means, like, you get a half a fucking attack more.
Yeah.
That is accurate.
Well, do you not agree that that's a significant, like, thing that you've been going through? Like,
I think it is. I think Hardline does the same thing too. Yeah.
Yeah. You spend you put money into the wrong thing. You're afraid. Like, oh, shit. You know, like
I don't feel cheated for it. I just feel like this game fucking sucks.
But come on, you can't say no.
The game does suck. The game does suck. It's not because I made a bad decision. The game is not fun to play.
Okay. Well, I mean, everything you're saying about it
is not fun.
Everything you're saying about it says this is fun.
What are you talking about?
All the things you're
saying. The campaign is great. The multiplayer, as a fucking seasoned Battlefield player.
Maybe that's...
I feel like my opinion on this multiplayer is okay. considered higher.
It could be a hindrance to the fact that your expectation is that you're getting another Battlefield game.
It definitely is.
No, it's not true. The game is not a bad thing.
You think that you went into this with an open mind, dude, saying, like, I'm ready to turn my Battlefield experience on its side.
Every Battlefield game you start to play sucks compared to the last one you were just used to. It was with Bad Company 2 to Battlefield 3. Battlefield 3 sucked for like 2 months until you got the hang of it. Battlefield 4 sucked until you got the hang of it.
I mentioned this earlier on the show. A certain level of hours put in until it starts to give back.
No. Hardline is just not a good game.
Okay.
There's something fundamentally missing. It's not fun to play. It's not fun to progress. It's not fun to play.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. I feel... I'm not as skilled of a player as you are, so I don't like... notice maybe subtleties in the mechanics, but I enjoy playing it more than you do. It's just the progression that I really have a problem with. I feel like it's a very limited experience. All the maps are smaller. It seems like there's less of them. There's less guns. I'm afraid to spend my money.
Yeah.
I'm not like unlocking. I don't feel like, you know, like, again, I get that like sound effect with the scope showing my screen saying I unlock this, you know?
Yeah.
Battle packs I gotta pay for, opposed to just earning them. Like, it's the same thing, but it feels slower progression because I'm spending hard-earned dollars, you know?
People talked about it before, like, this could have just been an expansion to Battlefield 4.
I've heard that too.
And
it would be a massive expansion.
I'll blame Star Wars. New Resogun a side-scrolling platformer? Are you the humans? Are you the last humans?
It's a mode. You're one human, and you're not acting...
That sounds awesome.
You're not acting the way the humans do. Yeah, isn't there a game like that?
Commando?
For any
answer. Yeah, Commando Mode. Oh. But, like, there's one called, like, where you're like a little tank, and you kind of shoot shit, and you just move around.
Oh, God, Titan's Attacks.
No, I'm not talking about PlayStation 4, I'm talking about, like, I bought a game on a floppy disk.
So bad.
Or on a 4-point, whatever it's called.
Hey, hold on. When you erase games that have... You can only erase games that have 0%?
Yeah.
Trophies?
Yeah. Was that...
Okay.
Space Invaders?
No. Space Invaders is a game. That's what I'm thinking about.
That game sucks.
What?
Space Invaders?
No.
Resogun.
Resogun, yeah.
You're fucking crazy.
No.
I will say I got bored of the expansion fast.
Yeah. It was way too difficult.
Yeah.
The main campaign was like, I'm getting better at this.
Can we wrap?
This was just like, I can't do it. I can't do it. Like, there's no way I'm going to get to the dawn of the fifth day.
Sorry, I should have said that.
That's okay. We will. And there's like 1,000 challenges.
Yeah.
And you have to unlock being able to do the challenge, and then the challenge itself is hard as fucking hell.
Nothing was explained. It was just, I opened up the game, it looked totally different. It was like...
The challenges actually are really fun.
What is this feeling when you're drinking and you're like kind of drunk? You're like, I gotta get more. What is that?
Addiction.
Irresponsible. Yeah.
More booze.
Temporary addiction.
It's called more booze.
For me, it's not temporary.
I'm an alcoholic. No, but honestly, like, when you reach for that, like that golden point. Like, I mean, it's harder with hard liquor, but with beer. It's like you can hold on to that line for a good long while. But with hard liquor, it comes and goes, yet you're still trying to chase it, even though it's far past you.
Until you're sick.
Yeah, you get the notion in your mind that
I was just like, where
I want to be is achieved by drinking, and then you forget that
past it. I was like, holy fuck, I'm fucking drinking a lot. And then I was like, oh, there, I gotta get more.
Yeah, it's because when you needed to get more, you had it in your mind to just drink more, and then you got drunk, you just kind of...
I'm here now, baby.
I actually sympathize with this feeling.
Huh?
Jesus Christ, there's a lot. Give me half of that.
This is a lot?
Yep.
Oh, man, it smells like booze in here.
All right. So wrap. No. Wrap it up.
Yeah, you're going to edit this whole part?
I'm gonna try.
Hey, did you guys see the new trailer for fucking
yeah.
Mission Impossible?
We going to wrap it?
I did not.
Lux, nope!
Sorry. No, we'll watch it in 1 minute.
Yeah.
All right, so if you'd like to find us on the internet, you can go to facebook.com/allrangemodepodcast, or
best place to leave feedback is on our website. You can go to allrangemode.com and leave a comment immediately below the episode headline.
Or go on Twitter with
ARM Podcast.
Yeah, and let us know who's your favorite reviewer. Dan's the worst.
Yeah.
And you can add me on PlayStation. My name's capital W for Wolf, underscore capital T for the, underscore capital B for Bear.
Or you can just add your name to Twitter or Facebook or the website, and we'll all add you.
I won't.
All of us. And I'll play Battlefield with you.
Or you can just call me on my cell. My number is 226 345-4392. My name is Joe.
Or you can just come to my house. It's 300 Martin Lane, LaSalle, Ontario, N9J2M3.
My zip code's 48081.
Or you can just email me, joseph.m.maria@gmail.com.
Or you can send me a text to 519-890-5049. I'll send you my penis pics. Just a good morning.
If you're still listening at this point,
go find yourself.
Free penis pics.
Or you can just mail to my house. It's 160 Rivervilla Court, N9J.
N9-3?
Joe's getting anthrax.
Don't say anthrax. Say fucking cocaine. Ooh, I don't want that.
My name's TJ.
And my name's Joe.
And I'm Chad. Thanks, boys.
That's All Range Mode out.
Beep.
Failed it. Maybe she still couldn't do Cocky Little Freaks.
Say it.
Cocky Little Freaks?